I'm
sit up straight.
Hello.
I wanna rock.
What order are we going in? I haven't looked at anything today. Last time I looked at anything was last night.
We're gonna open up with Mueller.
Mueller?
Mueller and Papadukaduke.
Does anyone have like
Popovich? Doc Papadoc.
Papadoc. 8 Mile.
Yeah,
that's
but
that's what it is. Okay.
Is that what you're thinking of?
I was thinking of like Coney, but there was like a Coney named Papadoc. I don't think I was right though. Apparently. All right. Check 1 2. Check 1 2.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I hear me? Facebook's now running ads on their display network.
Okay.
That, like, I see an ad right now that says action plan against foreign interference, hiring 4,000 people to strengthen enforcement, collaborating across the industry, increasing transparency. What? So essentially what they're doing is they're trying to advertise in Politico and these other places saying, please don't regulate us. Okay.
Ooh.
Oh, like that was orgasmic, honestly. Like, my back was so itchy.
Oh, man.
All right, here we go. This fucking... I gotta be honest. I'm in a really bad mood.
Me too. I'm pissed
Sweet.
The fuck
Let's
off.
Let's take it out on the Clintons.
I've been
They deserve it.
I've been in like a grumpy-ass mood for a week now. Maybe two.
I have been too. I haven't drank.
Yeah.
I'm like having withdrawals. I'm all grumpy. I wake up ready to.
I've been great. I started a new job. Nothing to complain about.
Fuck right. off, Galt.
One on two.
Yep. All right. let's
see here. This fucking thing.
All right. Ready?
I guess. Still can't hear anything.
Yeah, you're not going to. Oh, they're not going to work.
Just take them off.
Yeah, just take them off. I've got to go through and fix the headphones.
That's fine.
It's not you. It's not me. I mean, it's me. It's not you.
It's not me. It's you.
Heard that before.
Get my autism putty ready.
Nah.
Don't say that. You'll get in trouble.
I know. Here we go. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. I don't like anything that was happening there.
You forget who you were?
Yes.
Whoop.
I was ready to start, and then Galt interrupted me. Just like the old days. Galt,
yep, I'm good at it.
Galt's annoying me. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I am your host, Chris Spangle. We bring you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves while putting people before political parties. We examine current events from a libertarian perspective with the goal of leaving you better informed. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, and become a subscriber on Patreon at WeAreLibertarians.com. Without your financial support, independent media like this cannot exist. So, in exchange for supporting our program, we give you great bonus content. This show is crowdsourced, so you can send us news with the hashtag WALNews or in our Facebook group or Discord channel. We are always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@WeAreLibertarians.com. Please be warned that this show is raw, unedited, and authentic, so the language is sometimes strong and mildly offensive. In this show, we will bring you many topics. We'll start with the Mueller investigation, Papadopoulos. We're going to talk the Clintons and Uranium One, Donna Brazile's explosive thing today, where she basically threw Hillary under the bus and said that she rigged the entire election against Bernie. It was crazy.
Yes.
So we've got all kinds of things to talk about today, including a new Fed chair. But first, let me introduce my co-host for this episode. Let's start with Chris Galt. Chris, how are you?
Oh, doing great.
Welcome
Happy
back.
Happy to be here.
Welcome back. How have you been?
Oh, wonderful.
Good. Tad
Who?
Western.
Who?
Exactly.
Guns blazing. You didn't recognize me without my hat.
That's exactly right.
I didn't recognize you being sober.
I know. I'm sober. It's too cold to ride the horse, and I don't have my hat.
Honestly, you said you hadn't drank in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know, right? Do you see me shaking over here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm coming down Parkinson's.
You're the official drunk uncle of We Are Libertarians.
I know.
Why are you sober?
Well, I'm taking like a month off. I'm going to start hitting the bottle hard again around the holidays.
Right,
tolerance
well.
Break.
Yeah, I figured I'd bring my tolerance down to baseline, which is about 3 times the amount of anyone else, normal person.
Now, your family with Aaron Ewart. And
yeah.
Aaron, and he's now dating the lovely Hannah Weber. And
I heard they were married.
They're married, and they have had if there's a drought of Bush Light in the Cincinnati area, they're why.
Yeah, he rolls around with a trunk full of Bush Light.
He literally does.
On ice.
He has a Yeti cooler in his trunk and is just full of beer at all times.
Wow. Yeah,
and so you've got to party pretty hard during the holidays.
Yeah, we have to get drunk. I think it all started around the holidays, like my drinking problem, because to handle my family, I'd have to be, you know, I'd have to be some type of intoxicated.
No, that was what?
Just to take the edge off.
8, 9 years old when that started?
I believe there's pictures of me and Aaron slamming beers at, like, I don't know, 4 or 5. We were still wearing wow. pull-ups, but then again, what drunk doesn't like wearing pull-ups? Because then you don't have to go to the bathroom so often.
Now, Galt, you don't strike me as a drinker, really.
No, not really.
You strike me as maybe a little something-else-er.
No, I just have fun.
What nose candy?
What does fun mean? Define fun.
I mean, I can socialize with any kind of group. Really, I'm kind of like you.
Especially
at your birthday party,
right?
You know, you're not doing anything. You're just hanging out with everybody at the pool. But
that's exactly right.
You can really just get along with any type of person.
Okay,
it doesn't really matter what you're doing. I'm a libertarian, so I can get along with you.
I get what's happening here. I'll move along. Shockingly, our most fervent Google supporter is using a what over there?
Oh, this brick?
Yeah. What's?
I guess it's an iPad.
You've got an iPad. That's right.
That's an iPod Nano.
It was free. I didn't buy it.
Okay.
Apple didn't get any money.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
you got to make that clear so Android doesn't pull your
I'm
your
using
funding.
It for its large screen. I'm using a Google app on it called Google Keep. You can use it for note taking. It's really, really good for note taking.
Or you could use Evernote, which is superior, but it's okay. It's fine.
Or you could just have an expert memory like I do.
I like live right. collaboration like Google Drive. I get that in Google Keep. We can work on a note together, like in Google Docs.
Yeah, you can have that in Evernote.
Yeah, but it's not through your Google.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Google doesn't get a look at it.
Right. You know.
Hey,
Somebody's
going to see all my stuff. I'd rather it be Google than the government, and I'd rather it be one company than 100. So I chose my devil, and I'll play with them.
Let's start.
You'll diddle that devil, won't you?
Let's start into the news, and this is going to be a real short topic, which we will talk at more length at some other point, but I would feel remiss if I didn't share with you a quote from yesterday's hearings on Capitol Hill as Twitter. And can you pull up the stat on the censorship on the Podesta, the Pizzagate stuff that Twitter?
Oh, I just saw. I haven't read the article, but I just saw the headline.
Yeah, just the numbers alone on the censorship that Twitter admitted to censoring conservative hashtags right before the election. I want to get that stat out there, but in a New York Times article,
50% of the hashtag DNC leaks.
50% of the hashtag DNC leaks was throttled and disappeared from the search if you searched on Twitter for it. What were some other censorings that were
48% of anything related to Podesta?
Right.
Podesta emails. That was the other one.
Right.
Podesta
so
emails.
Anything regarding Pizzagate was...
Yeah, they were censoring Pizzagate
25%
for sure.
Of Podesta emails.
25%.
And 50% of DNC leaks.
Which means that if you hashtagged with something regarding Pizzagate, and if you don't know what Pizzagate was, it was the conspiracy theory.
It is what it is.
Galt, our resident conspiracy theorist.
Hey, it's a beautiful year for me.
Right. And,
conspiracy.
And his assistant, Tad.
I just read, man. I just read.
If you used those hashtags, 25% chance that you actually made it to Google search, they just hit it from the entire platform, which I found to be insane. But some of the other insanities, this is from October 31st, a headline in the New York Times: tech executives are contrite about election meddling but make few promises on Capitol Hill. And there are several quotes in this article by several people who are senators that I think you need to hear word for word. First comes from Senator Chris Coons, the Democrat of Delaware. He asks, why has it taken Facebook 11 months to come forward and help us understand the scope of this problem? See it clearly for the problem it is and to begin to work in a responsible legislative way to address it. And then down we have a stunning quote from our good friend, which we tweeted out and posted on Facebook, Lindsey Graham.
Oh, Chris. Chris.
Does this disappoint you?
Yes. He's the chairman of the Crime and Terrorism Subcommittee that held the hearing, said the risk went beyond Russia to other American adversaries. Talking to reporters afterwards, he alluded to potential regulation of political advertising online, which would genuinely be impossible. He said, it's Russia today. It could be Iran, North Korea tomorrow, Mr. Graham said. What we need to do is to sit down and find ways to bring some of the controls we have on over-the-air broadcast to social media to protect the consumer. So let me do that without the accent so you really hear the impact of these words. What we need to do is to sit down and find ways to bring some of the controls we have on over-the-air broadcast to social media to protect the consumer.
Oh, great. Yeah, let's FCC the shit out of this.
Right.
So basically they are wanting to regulate private companies and what they can sell ads is what? Advertising or just hashtags? Like, what are they talking about?
So if you didn't see the actual ads, they were hilarious. Okay, we posted the article up on WeAreLibertarians.com. Use the hashtag WallNews. You can see it pretty quickly. But the ads were hilarious.
Was it that Jesus versus Satan thing you posted? That was legit. That wasn't like a...
So Larry Daniels, American Patriot, is a
friend. I'm a firer.
He's a friend of mine, and he posted this. But one of the, like, here's an October 26th Facebook ad placed by the Army of Jesus. Today, Americans are able to elect a president with godly moral principles. Hillary is a Satan, and her crimes and lies had proved just how evil she is. And even though Donald Trump isn't a saint by any means, he's at least an honest man, and he cares deeply for this country. My vote goes for him, and it's Satan versus Jesus in an arm wrestling match in the image. And it says, Satan, it's a meme, and it says, Satan, if I win, Clinton wins. Jesus says, not if I can help it. Press like to help Jesus win.
So wow. What is this supposedly, this is damaging the brains of Americans?
It's religion baiting.
Then there's like an LGBT like coloring of Bernie Sanders, and it says, you can color your own Bernie hero. There's a new coloring book.
There's no white crown, though. How are you supposed to do that?
They're called Buff Bernie. It's like, if you really look up the actual things that were shared, it was so completely ridiculous.
What is the problem with this, though? I've heard it in the news, but I don't get it. Are they saying that this is meddling in the elections? That people are running cartoon ads? Somehow this is influencing?
That a free marketplace of ideas
that
is
private,
dangerous.
Yeah, that a private company.
And that it needs to be regulated and put into the hands of the few, just like the mainstream media is, so that only small group of conglomerates own and run that industry.
Oh, so just
and that's
like
how
what,
they want to
yeah,
do it
so
with
just,
Facebook and Google. They can yeah, be those right. dominant structures in social media, and no one else is allowed to enter that space.
Just like what they do.
Without
with,
jumping through a million regulatory hoops.
With Hearst in the fucking newspapers.
Vibs is in the Dear Leader's Court trolling. Love it. So basically, 126 million people actually saw these ads, and we've talked a lot about
and how
them.
Many people voted?
Exactly, not that
Jesus
many.
Jesus fucking Christ. It's probably all kids that saw them.
We're talking about $100,000 spent on Facebook ads. And, sorry, that's me. I was like, why does Galt have his phone turned on in the background?
The chick spent three times that.
She spent $2 billion on Facebook to impress people. But Stretch said in his testimony that Facebook estimates 11.4 million people saw ads purchased by Internet Research Agency between 2015 and 2017. And then, basically, this equals it's a tiny fraction of the content on Facebook. And he says this equals about 0.004% of content in news feeds, or approximately 1 out of 23,000 pieces of content. Put another way, if each of these posts were a commercial on television, you would have to watch more than 600 hours on television to see something from that group, the Internet Research Agency.
That's like one season of Game of Thrones.
Right. So we're not talking about anything that was even remotely... It's bullshit. They want to get control of the internet.
Yeah, I know it is bullshit. What are they going to do about the bots and everything else on Twitter? What are they going to do about all the bots on Reddit?
Anything we can do.
Upvote and downvote shit on either pro-Trump or pro-conservative or what libertarian.
Exactly.
And then they hide all anything that has to do with Democrat meddling or... this is bullshit.
Go ahead, Galt.
It's just anything that they can tie back to that Russia-Trump narrative.
Yeah.
And this is, even though this is nothing, it's something that they can tie back to and talk to.
Well, while carving out those little exemptions that give them control over an industry and a place like Silicon Valley where they have very little control.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hopefully, the tech companies are like, fuck you, we're a private company, right?
They're going to try, but they're also kind of capitulating a little bit. I mean, if you look at Google, Google, when they went into China... censored their searches for Chinese government because they wanted access to that market.
Yeah.
Facebook make sure they don't become MySpace? By getting in bed with the government.
Right.
Well, what are they going to do? Regulate them like a utility? Well, what happens when they just say, you know what, everybody goes, well, fuck
fines.
You.
It's fine.
Well, what Facebook started to do is they started to roll out a new feature. Basically, there's a new tab, and every page goes to that tab, and every... personal account is what you see in your newsfeed. And so Facebook is founded on the idea that you can connect with your friends and family, right? And then they allowed brands to get involved, and they make money off of brands, and that's where the bulk of their income comes from,
from Facebook advertising.
But they also are starting to realize that people are exhausted by it's the Trump effect on Facebook. You log in and it's nothing but fighting, and people are getting tired of that. And so I think they're going to eventually take pages and brand pages and put them on a separate tab and put personal profiles in your main news feed.
So they're going the MySpace route. So you can click on the music route.
Right.
You know, and then you can add an ad to your page if you want to.
Right. But here's the problem with that. If I, as somebody who buys Facebook advertising for work and for my private clients and for We Are Libertarians, what am I paying for? I'm paying to be hidden. Like, I'm not going to get results that way. You have told me that, and I can tell you that... if you're a small business, Facebook is the only place to advertise on. Like, that's it. That's, like, Google Ads can help, but if you don't have $50,000 to spend on a television campaign in a local area, you're kind of hosed, so your best bet is to put $10,000 into Facebook ads.
So what are they going to do? How are they going to distinguish between a private account, say a business that's ran,
right,
that just... spams the shit out of people,
right,
spam posts, and doesn't pay anything?
Well,
is it just the paying, or is it the spamming? Is that what problem does the government have here?
So if you want,
because that would be like meme pages could get shut down.
It's exactly right. Well, that's what they want to get rid of. Because
my Pepe,
right? They want to get rid of
that goddamn frog.
What they will then do is they will sign strategic partnerships with people like the New York Times.
Oh yeah, failing New York Times.
But the We Are Libertarians of the world will not get access to your Facebook feed. We will be stuck in that other tab, and it's Facebook is really 2 out of every 5 minutes for most people is spent on Facebook. I mean, it's a huge. That's why there's a discussion about Facebook having a quote unquote problem. And that, quote-unquote, needs fixed.
Yeah, the problem was when they started letting people have accounts who didn't have .edu emails.
Right.
That's when the problem started.
Right. It's like when they let the boomers
Kuckerberg.
On.
Yeah.
So I was reading a book called Warrior Politics by Robert Kaplan, and I can't recommend this book enough. It was really interesting. It's, again, from 2002. And so many – this is pre-9/11, and so many things that he writes about in 2002 before 9/11 happened – have happened over the last 15, 17 years.
Like 9/11?
Like 9/11. He basically says, like, here's how terrorism is going to start happening, and then it happened like 3 months later.
What a coincidence.
So there's one passage that I posted. The spread of information will not necessarily encourage stability. Johann Gutenberg's invention of movable type in the middle 15th century led not only to the Reformation, but to the religious wars that follow it. As the sudden proliferation of texts spurred doctrinal controversies and awakened long-dormant grievances, the spread of information in the coming decades will lead not just to new social compacts, but to new divisions as people discover new and complex issues over which to disagree. And I think that's what we're seeing with social media is, even if you get rid of the pages and the groups and you just go to people posting personal stuff, you're still going to get your aunt posting, you know, like the conservative treehouse stuff.
It's human nature, though. Like, how you can't regulate it.
And that's, people will just flee to a different platform where freedom exists.
Yeah, or I'll just mail you fucking Pepe memes in the mail. Like old times.
Exactly right. I mean, there are things that if you message me...
What is that? Is that a Nook?
No, this is called a newspaper. This is, did you shut your mic off? You should turn your mic off.
It's like, that's the biggest Nook I've ever seen.
It's on the mic. It's actually on the actual mic, I bet.
How'd you manage to do that? It's being censored.
There's an on and off
the government's...
What did you do over there?
I didn't do anything.
You did...
Oh, Galt. I see that.
Let Tad Western is a broadcasting professional.
I am.
Now, flip that up.
It's up.
Yep.
We're up.
All
we're
right.
Up. Mic failure. Hey, grab that other one. What?
Yep. Now,
check.
It's something wrong. Grab that other mic.
Yeah, you just killed it.
It's not the mute button, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. Let's see.
Check.
No,
check,
it's not. Check. Totally bypassed the
yeah.
mute.
Yeah. Fucking Bob Mueller shutting us down.
Well, while you figure this out, I'm gonna go over the timeline.
Go over the timeline.
I'm gonna mute your two mics, Galt. So let's start with the Mueller investigation. The Mueller investigation had the first charges filed this week, and I could not be less impressed. I spent several hours this week kind of just going over everything, trying to find if there was something, if there was any there. And so, as so often, when it comes to this Russian stuff, like, I hate Donald Trump. Like, I really...
What?
I'm sorry.
This is a news flash to me.
I know. I don't like Donald Trump. How are you?
Can you hear me now?
I think
maybe
I just need to turn
bit?
You up.
Okay.
Let's see here.
That's good.
Right. We're getting somewhere.
There we go.
Oh, I'm back.
You're back.
We're back.
All right, good.
In action.
Can't keep us down,
oh, yeah.
NSA.
All right, so... I'm not sure what that was. My equipment is failing, like I'm a 75-year-old congressman.
These mics are brought to you by the New York Times.
Right. So I want to hate Donald. I hate Donald Trump. I love that he's a troll. I think he's funny. He's hilarious to me. But I will also say, if there were a real scandal, I would love to be sitting here going, ha-ha, look, this is all legit. But I'm going to tell you that as we kind of go over the facts of the Mueller inquiry here, there isn't a lot here that is compelling to me.
It is
very clear, and I think the whole thread in tonight's episode really is, this is how politics actually works, and you're just seeing it because of the proliferation of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Information is now being leaked, and they're being forced to come clean. So we're going to start with Mueller, and then we'll talk about Clinton, because I think she's actually the more corrupt person, whether...
What?
Yeah, I know. Shocked. Shocked, I say.
Hillary?
Right. So let's talk about the Mueller investigation. Obviously, Paul Manafort was his former campaign chairman, and he was charged with money laundering and crimes against the United States. And George Papadopoulos was charged with, he's pled guilty
to lying
to the FBI, and we'll explain all that in detail. So, but let's kind of give you the timeline of everything so we can kind of work through this in order so you understand it completely. So June 16, 2015, Trump announces he's going to be a candidate. September of 2015, the FBI first tries to inform the DNC that they've been the target of a cyber attack. In December of 2015, Michael Flynn...
That's not even correct. It was a leak. It wasn't a cyber attack.
In what way?
The emails were leaked. They weren't... It wasn't a cyber attack
by a staffer
who was inside. So that's not even correct.
Now, what information do you have that says that's true?
A dead body.
Okay. Do tell.
What do you mean? What do you mean? What it, they said it was leaked. It, the info that came from
WikiLeaks.
From WikiLeaks, you can look at the metadata, and it's leaked. It's not hacked. It wasn't stolen. Now, John Podesta's personal emails, they got that from
a password.
From a password. Right. But his password was 1234. Yeah.
Right. Basically, if you...
Which, that was a Russian phishing scandal, supposedly, allegedly. Right. But
basically, if you get an email, like I got an email from Apple saying, hey, change your password, and you look at the actual email, and it's not an Apple email, you don't want to enter your password. I almost fell for it, I'll be honest. And I'm a digital director. Like,
yeah, no, it's a super common... It's a super common phishing tactic.
Right.
I mean, it's phishing. It's the oldest trick in the book. But that this... brings up, if Seth Rich was the leaker, we know that, and it's been confirmed, and now even today when Donna Brazile came out, this all ties together.
Right.
Why he was a Bernie bro,
right,
and he saw what was going on within the DNC, which come to find out Hillary Clinton had taken over the DNC before she even in 2015, before there was, I mean, her and Bernie were still running.
Which
and,
we will
and
get
not
to.
Only did she take over the DNC, she took over all the money.
Right.
So, I mean, that's we'll get into that as well. But this web, like me and Galt were talking about, we need a whiteboard with just names on it.
We
and
need a Glenn,
what everybody, yeah, we do. We need a Glenn Beck chalkboard.
Yeah,
really.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Glenn, so, where are you?
So... and
remodel. Where's Harry at?
This comes from this timeline. The Times. Michael Flynn was paid more than $45,000 to deliver a speech at a dinner in a Russian media outlet, Russia Today, in Moscow. He sat next to Putin.
Yep.
March 2016, Mr. Papadopoulos was named a Trump foreign policy advisor and told that a principal foreign policy focus of the campaign was an improved U.S. relationship with Russia. Now, George Papadopoulos was brought on to the campaign after he was helping Ben Carson and was one of probably Ben Carson's five chief advisors. And he was brought into the Trump organization when Ben Carson endorsed Trump and became an advisor. My guess is that Papadopoulos was one of those people that Ben Carson liked and that had some ties in the energy industry. And the campaign wanted to keep Ben Carson happy, and so they kept him around. And he was told by the big fat guy with the mustache, Clovis, who was supposed to be the head of the USDA, which the gentleman looks like he enjoys a nice steak. So I'm sure he knows his way around some meat. But he has no other experience in food safety whatsoever. Literally no qualifications other than knowing Donald Trump. And he told that guy, he was having a conversation with that guy, Clovis, and was basically told that we want to improve relations with Russia. And that was one of the laundry list of things that was said in that conversation. The way that it is being reported by the mainstream media is that this was the only thing that was told to Papadopoulos. And so you have to understand that when you really... I'll save this analysis for later down. So Papadopoulos in March 2016 is told they want to improve ties with Russia. And this comes from what the FBI actually put out in their 14-page statement about Papadopoulos and the charges. So he met in Italy with a professor with ties to the Russian government, according to court documents. The professor appeared to take great interest in defendant Papadopoulos. When he learned that he had joined the campaign, the documents state, on a Monday, a Senate aide identified the professor as Joseph Mifsud, a London-based professor of international relations. Professor's a loose word, because he doesn't really seem to be teaching anywhere ever. And the New York Times really can't seem to find a place where he has tenure or teaches. He's just sort of like this guy who says he's a professor and has honorary degrees.
Could be one of the lies he told the FBI.
Yeah, but he's also, he like goes to Russia. He's a big supporter of Putin. He's hanging out in Russia a lot. Now, you two in prep are talking a lot about this professor. What did you learn about Joseph Mifsud?
Well, it wasn't even hit. Well, the background on Pop too. He's only 28 at the time. Is another key to this,
mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
He's only a junior level advisor, is what they say. And they kind of just said, "Here's your." He didn't even have security clearance in Trump Tower.
He didn't have an email.
Yeah, he didn't have anything. So there's.
Wow.
So anyway, he ends up meeting with, he's over, I believe, in England and Italy, and it turns out he's introduced to a few of these characters, and it turns out he's introduced to, I'm going through my stuff.
Yeah,
right
about now. 10 days later, he's in London, and he meets with a Russian woman.
Yeah, it turned out to be the same woman that Junior met with.
Really?
Yeah, it's the same lady.
I didn't read that. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. He said that she's a niece of Putin.
Yeah, well, she wasn't. They're all a bunch of bullshitters, and they were trying to get info. But he, hold on, let me scroll through here. I don't know how many articles we were posting. I read more last night than I've read in, I don't know how long.
Because we've known about Uranium-1 for a little while now.
Right. Yeah, well, that was in Clinton Cash.
But their whole argument was, well, none of the uranium, none of it left.
Right. Yeah, if you go back and listen to episode 171, we did a whole episode on Clinton Cash and the Uranium-1 deal. Where basically, and we'll go into that a little bit, but let's stick to Papadopoulos. So he goes over to London, and basically he's told better relations with Russia. He happens to bump into this professor at a party or whatever. The professor finds out he's on the Trump campaign, and then he says, oh, I better call my buddies at the Kremlin. Let's make contact with this guy. And so this is the second time that the Russians are making active contact with the Trump campaign, trying to get access and influence them as a campaign. Mm-hmm. Now, I would have to expect that this is not something that the Trump campaign is it's not just them. I would imagine, and I'm surprised that I haven't seen a lot of operatives coming out and saying this, I would imagine that this is a fairly common thing.
Oh, yeah. You've worked on campaigns before.
Absolutely.
I've ran a couple campaigns.
Yeah.
He was just a volunteer worker. He wasn't even a paid staffer.
He seems like one of these guys who comes in and says, I want to be involved in the campaign. And you say, great. And they have a lot of ideas. And
a lot of ideas, man.
Right. And a lot of the ideas are completely opposite or out of the scope of what you actually need to do as a campaign.
Yeah.
And we've had those people who come in. And what do you say to them?
If I'm the campaign manager and you come in telling me that, I'm like, great, I am so glad you're excited about this campaign. Like, right. We're going to get him elected. You know, if you want to work on that, you go ahead.
Right.
You know, bring me back anything if you find it, and I'll look over it. Thank you for all your hard work. Help us on the phone banking, though, this Friday, okay?
Right. Only this, and for... Like,
I'm not going to turn away free work or someone that's passionate or excited about the campaign. That's not what you do to run a good campaign.
Exactly. And in March of 2016, the Trump Organization is so small that they need people. And this is around the time when he's sitting in front of the Times board. If you remember, early in 2016, they were pestering about who his advisors on foreign policy were. And it was this big media storm about how he doesn't have any foreign policy experts on his team. No one will endorse him. No one will work with him. And he's like, who do you have on your team that's a foreign policy expert? And he's like, Papadopoulos. Like, and no one, and we even talked about it on the show back in March or April of that year. Like, yeah, no, we've never heard of any of these people. Like, who are these
that's
people?
That's why it's hard to follow the story is the Russian names, like people you don't never have heard of.
There's about 19 Sergeys, I can tell you that.
Right, yeah. And so...
Which he's connected to Sergey Milan, who paid for the Steele dossier.
So
they're all connected. All the Russians.
There's so many connections at every in all of this, and so
and they're all getting paid by.
So let's continue on. Papadopoulos on March 24th meets with the woman that Trump Jr. later meets with.
Yeah, well, her name hasn't came out, but. It's the same story.
Putting myself in Junior's shoes, I would have probably done the same thing, been interested in the information they had.
Like, right.
It's hard to really blame them for that, like being open to having someone tell you something about your opponent.
And the information they were telling that he had were the email, the missing email.
They weren't actively going out to pay for that information or you know, through covert means.
We'll get to that later.
It's pretty much op-ed is what they were doing. But
so... On March 28th, 4 days later, Manafort joins the campaign. Now, Paul Manafort is...
But they never had anything. That's a key point in all this. The Russian There was nothing ever exchanged as far as information or...
Right.
I mean, there was words exchanged, I guess you could say, but that's about it.
So, Paul Manafort, if you've watched Get Me Roger Stone on Netflix, great documentary, and basically Charlie Black, Paul Manafort, and Roger Stone created lobbying. In the 80s. Like, they created the swamp. And Paul Manafort basically had a less than stellar reputation, so for 20 years he had been working overseas with, you know, like setting up elections for the Kurds and teaching people how to run elections.
Anybody who had money to burn.
Exactly right, that wasn't American. And that was one of his selling points to Trump, was I don't have a swamp reputation, haha. Like, I haven't been here for 20 years. And so he joins the campaign. And then on March 31st, Trump meets in Washington with his advisors, and including Papadopoulos. Now, in that meeting is Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, and who was the his name? Grove. I wish I had it handy, but there was the actual foreign policy, the head of the foreign policy team, basically said, yeah, we didn't really know what this guy was up to. We never talked to him. Jeff Sessions and I didn't talk to this guy. We never had communication
with him. To Papadopoulos?
To Papadopoulos.
Yeah, they had repeatedly said... He had tried to get them to do things.
Mr. Gordon is...
He was that excited, crazy volunteer you had that, you know, you gave him a title and you made him work hard, but, you know, everybody behind closed doors kind of just maybe laughed at
him. They were kind of like...
pushed him off.
Yeah, go overseas.
We got real stuff to work on here.
J.D. Gordon, a former Pentagon official who worked for the Trump campaign as a national security advisor, helped arrange the March 31st foreign policy meeting. And he brings up the discovery that Russia had obtained Democratic emails of his prolonged pursuit meetings with Russia. And so he basically said, like, hey, you guys told me to work on the Russian thing, and I found the Russians, and they have emails. And Mr. Gordon says, I was surprised to learn what Papadopoulos was up to during the campaign. He obviously went to great lengths to go to around me and Senator Sessions. He said it's not abnormal that happens. You can't know what everybody's doing. But
is that claiming that they actually had the emails, or
he's saying
that the Russians actually had the emails, or is he just saying that
in March?
Because that wasn't very clear.
In March, he's saying Papadopoulos was told that they had emails.
Yeah, he had the dirt on the
Clintons, on the Clintons,
which they never did. But.
Right, and so Jeff Sessions basically says, "Don't ever bring that up again, dummy." And Papadopoulos is like, no, but I can arrange a meeting with Trump and Putin. Like, this is great. And Sessions again says, dummy, listen to me. Don't ever bring that up. That's not a direct quote. But basically he says, like, shut up, you. And now Sessions is in trouble because when...
He didn't say that
under
to the FBI.
No, under oath in front of Congress, Al Franken knew, do you know what was going on with the campaign and the Russians? Did anybody have contact with the Russians in the campaign?
He said no,
not to my knowledge. So he lied to Congress. So that's going to be a problem.
But there was nothing there.
It doesn't matter. He lied.
Doesn't
no, it doesn't.
Sound
because there's
like
nothing
a setup
there. There's nothing there.
Doesn't it sound like a setup?
And they weren't Russian. They didn't even work for the Russian government. So just any Russian comes up to you and
here's the problem.
Tells you I have dirt on
exactly
Galt.
This shows you the caliber of the
no problem. I know I agree. I'm just trying to lay it out in a more
like it's this shows you the caliber of the people in the Trump campaign. Like, this guy's sitting in the room with the presidential candidate and he's a dum-dum. Like, he's clearly a dumb person. Like, anybody who comes up to me and says, hey, I'm with the Russians, do you want to talk? Oh yeah, I'm working for a presidential campaign. Okay, and then, like, the FBI knocks on your door, and he goes, let me tell you everything. Like, lawyer up, you dumb-dumb. This guy's clearly not a bright person at all. And so you're trying to apply logic to a dumb person, Tad.
No. Well, there's not very much. No, but, but I'm saying there's nothing there.
They're right.
There was nothing there to begin with.
Because Trump's not been, nor is he the target of this investigation. That's
right.
My theory.
Well, he was to begin with, but there's nothing.
I think Flynn was. Flynn and Manafort.
Well, Flynn, they're going to get Manafort.
All
get
the charges that have been put out
were
right
before
now,
the campaign even existed. All the charges were from all Manafort's
exactly.
Is all tax evasion
they're
and
all
not declaring
to
as
the
a.
Podestas and that.
Yeah.
And they're
that's
not related
right.
to Trump at all.
So let's keep going through the timeline a little
yeah,
bit.
Go.
And so
there's so much shit going on.
I know. Miss Food introduced Papadopoulos by email to somebody that was Putin's niece. They have multiple Skype conversations, and they talk about setting the groundwork for potential meetings. April 25th, Papadopoulos over breakfast says, I've got the dirt on the Clintons, the number in the thousands. Mr. Manafort was promoted to chairman in May of 2016. In May 26th, Mr. Trump won the support of the delegates.
Which that's why Trump brought him on.
It's exactly right. So if you remember, Manafort was brought on because Corey Lewandowski was imploding at the time, and he needed an adult in the room who had connections to get him through the convention, who had and like your traditional people, like the Steve Smiths who ran McCain's campaign, or the guys who run Romney's campaign, or the Bush people, none of them were willing to help, and so he had to go to Manafort.
And this was back at the height of Never Trump.
It's exactly right.
The Republican Party was completely split.
Exactly. There's going to be riots if Trump doesn't get the nomination, and so he brings Manafort in, and Manafort gets the job done, and on May 26th, he gets enough delegates to cinch the nomination. Now,
he'd worked with Democrats before, didn't he?
Right.
Manafort?
Yeah.
He's a slut. June 9th, Donald Trump met with Natalia Veselinskaya.
Sounds hot.
Right. June 14th, CrowdStrike, cybersecurity firm hired by the DNC, said two groups of Russian hackers penetrated their emails. July 22nd, WikiLeaks released the emails. August 19th, Manafort was ousted from the campaign. That's when Bannon came in.
Well, if you remember back, you go back, which I was doing last night,
mm-hmm.
and the reason Manafort was ousted because it came up, I believe the New York Times reported, because Manafort this entire time had been under FBI wiretap.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He had been. Remember how Trump was saying Trump Towers wiretapped?
Oh, that's
all
right.
That?
Yeah.
Manafort had an apartment in Trump Tower as well, and he was under, I believe it was Mueller or Comey at the time, mm-hmm. who's around the FBI. So he knows this. He's got Manafort tapped, and they were trying to get him for. They already knew he hadn't declared as a foreign agent.
Right.
That's
somebody
where most
working
of
for a foreign,
were, taking yeah. money from a foreign government. That's the exact same thing they're getting Flynn for, because he never registered, and then tax evasion, everything else.
Right.
You're hiding money. So he was already under investigation. Once that came out, because I mean, you remember the shitstorm that it was. Every day for Trump. Oh, this is this guy, that guy, that guy. So as soon as this comes out, him and Trump have a meeting, and he's like, he gets rid of it. Trump said, I can't have this.
Bannon was actually the one who pushed him out
absolutely.
And said, you can't have it, because it came out that he was helping with the pro-Russia party. We'll detail all the Manafort stuff. I just want to give people the timeline real quick, just to kind of give an overview of how long this is and how short it is in certain places. Trump wins on November 8th. Trump appoints Michael Flynn November 17th. Then the January 27th is when Mr. Papadopoulos was interviewed by the FBI for the first time. According to court documents, he made false statements during this interview about his interaction with Russian contacts. Presumably, now, the funny thing is, that day, as they're knocking on Papadopoulos' door, that is when Comey is having his dinner with Trump, where he's asked for his loyalty. So talk about awkward, because he knows that he's basically going to the house. His agents are going to the house of one of his boss's agents. Trump asks for loyalty at the dinner, and he's like, yeah, boss. Sure.
Now, was he still working for the campaign at that
He was
point?
Not, no.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
Right.
He only worked for the campaign for like 3 months or something.
So, it should be noted, and it's not included in this timeline, that at a certain point he says, I can set this meeting up, I can get the dirt, we need to send Trump over there to meet with Putin and to have this conversation. The campaign says, yeah, we'll set that up. Never happens. So, he basically is saying, here, I have access for you. And the campaign does nothing with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, when did
just like with Donald Trump Jr., when he meets with the Russian national, he does nothing with it. In fact, Jared Kushner gets up, walks out early. Donald Trump Jr. does nothing with it. So, yes, the Russians were trying to make contact with them, but the campaign structure did nothing with it. And I think that is the most important thing to keep in mind here, is that if they were really colluding with the Russians, there would have been steps to send a senior or even a low-level campaign staffer to Russia to follow up on what Papadopoulos had found. But instead, they just treat him like Galt. Hey, yeah, that's a great idea. You work on that. Make sure you're here at the phone banks on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think it's just really...
That's how you run a campaign.
Exactly right. And so February 16th of 2000, of this year, he's interviewed a second time. The next day, according to court documents, he shuts down his Facebook, trying to delete the evidence. Dummy.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. So, and then...
Because he was talking to... what's his name? Sergey Milan or whatever.
Right.
Him and he had like 200 Facebook friends, and he was one of them that he was always talking to. When did the Pissgate... When did the dossier come out?
So I think we're getting to that.
That should have been... No, that was back before he had won, before Trump had won.
No, it was early that year. So the Steele documents came out in...
No, but those were floating... Those had already been manufactured. What you have to realize is the Pissgate was manufactured and put out before the election.
Right. But it didn't really come out. The Steele dossier didn't really come out until January. I remember that's when we were talking about it.
No, but it was out already. Mm-hmm. It had been floating around for months.
Right. People had been talking about it, but it didn't hit mainstream. BuzzFeed put it out in January of that year.
Yeah, but the original idea was to put it out right before it was right before November.
Right, an October surprise.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Right.
But the FBI knew about it.
Right.
So, the FBI knew about it.
Yeah, they knew about it.
Clinton's paid for it.
Yeah, and McMullen, you remember McMullen,
yeah.
When he was doing all his bullshit out in Utah. McMullen was the FBI.
Running for president was his bullshit.
Oh, running, yeah. Well, more like leisurely walking. What'd he win, 6 votes? But, McMullen, Jeb, that was all the never-Trumpers were the crew that put it all together to begin with.
And they sold it off to Clinton.
It from Christopher Steele, the Interpol agent or whatever.
Well, it was actually the Washington Free Beacon started that whole process with this group of former journalists that run this OPA research firm. What's it called?
The
Free Force One, Freedom Force One. The actual group that started the opposition research and paid for it initially was the Washington Free Beacon people who were attached to the Romney campaign. Started the OPA research on all these Republicans. It then evolved.
Because McCain had it and he was handing it off.
Exactly
in the FBI,
right.
And so Comey saw it.
Right.
And then they just kept adding shit to it.
Right, and so the Steele dossier that eventually got released by BuzzFeed in January of this year had been floating around Washington forever in the Republican primaries, and then Clinton helped paid for. So like when the Republicans say, oh, Clinton paid for this Steele dossier to be done, that's partly true. It was started by Republicans, and that's the part that the conservative press is leaving out.
I wouldn't even call them Republican. I would call them it was the rhinos, really. I mean, it was the super conservative.
So then,
never Trumpers.
July of this year, Papadopoulos
aren't conservatives.
Here's the bottom line on Papadopoulos. Papadopoulos was a low-level nobody in a campaign that was very anemic at the time, was told to do whatever he could do,
like a chaotic campaign.
The right people found him and tried to get him to bite. He bit, but mm-hmm. everybody else who was a professional did not bite and that didn't pass their smell test, and that's where we're at. And that happened with Donald Trump Jr. And you can make up your own mind about whether or not they should have had these conversations in the first place, but I have to ask... I have to say that as somebody who has worked on campaigns and Galt too, I think that if you're running a campaign and somebody says, I have research that will damage your opponent that you need to hear, you're going to have that conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think that anybody in our listening audience would do anything differently if they were in that same situation. I think Papadopoulos is a complete dumbass. Here's somebody who sat down with the FBI, did not lawyer up, and then just immediately... said
nervously started spilling all the
just
beans.
Said I will cooperate. Right, and so basically he cooperated from
allegedly he was wearing a wire too.
Right, so in January they make first contact. They basically he lies in that first interview. In February they corner him and say, we know you lied, here's the emails, the Facebook messages, the text messages, the Skype calls that are proving you're lying, so you're going to now work for us. Mm-hmm. And he immediately began cooperating, and allegedly people have surmised that he made tapped phone calls, monitored emails, had meetings where he was wearing wiretaps with campaign officials trying to get dirt for the Mueller investigation. The Mueller investigation apparently is done with him because they have exposed that he was a rat right. and basically is using him as a public scalp, saying to the White House, hey, we've had this guy. We've been talking to people. Are you nervous yet? And they're trying to, so they've already flipped Papadopoulos, mm-hmm. and they're now trying to use the charges against Manafort to flip him and give information on the campaign, trying to find anything.
They're shaking the trunk of the tree to try to get those apples to fall.
Exactly
out.
Right.
The bad apples.
Exactly right. And in my view, I think that Flynn will probably be indicted at some point, but I don't know how much more there is to any of this.
Four more indictments.
Yeah, there's at least four more sealed right now.
Ready
really.
To go that they haven't released.
Yeah, there's four sealed.
One of them's Tony Podesta.
Yeah, you could say Podesta. That'd be a good guess.
So let's go back into the Manafort stuff, and we can explain let's finish with Papadopoulos and Trump.
The Papadopoulos thing is basically we got you lying on tape.
Right.
Of some shit that you thought was going to be a giant bombshell that was going to help and never amounted to anything.
Right.
But we kind of, pretty much all these look like right now on the surface that they're all technicalities.
Right.
Especially when it comes to Manafort, which, I mean, I'm not saying he's not dirty or anything, but it's what they've got on him, that what they're charging him with is for money laundering, for conspiracy against the United States, which basically is. And then the not registering as a foreign agent, which they get all these guys for who do anything overseas because you have to declare that you took the money.
And you know what? If they lied, burn them out. Get them out of there. None of this will bring Trump down or hurt him, really.
But that was from 2014 was the latest.
These individuals will burn.
And basically what Mueller...
For lying.
What Mueller is bringing up is what the IRS should have been doing.
Right.
They've obviously had him wiretapped. He's been wiretapped forever.
And we can't get started on the IRS yet.
It's also...
Oh, man.
So Mueller essentially... So we told you who Manafort is. Manafort was the campaign chairman. And Manafort, basically, he went overseas. He was representing the Ukrainians. The Ukrainian president, what was his name? Viktor Yanukovych. And Yanukovych was this super corrupt president of Ukraine who was in bed with the Russians and said Putin saved his life and basically collapsed in 2014 and fled to Russia.
They overthrew the Ukraine.
Exactly. If you remember all the protests in Ukraine at that point, that's when he fled. And then
not before turning over all Ukraine's uranium,
right,
and a brokered deal with Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State,
exactly.
to the Russians.
So he continues to help the party, but then eventually Manafort leaves when Putin invades for Crimea.
Yep.
Once Ukraine was destabilized, Putin moves in. Now, the previous 4 years, I think it was before that, 2 to 4 years, Manafort had been representing. He doesn't say lobbying, but he says representing Yanukovych in Washington, D.C. Because at that point, pre-Yanukovych getting exposed as a corrupt politician, a crook who's on the make, they were trying to get into the EU. And they were trying to get access to the European market, to the European currency, to the European Union itself. And they were using Manafort as a representative in Washington to curry good favor to basically run a campaign saying Yanukovych is a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's with America. He's great champion of freedom. And so Manafort hired two firms at $1.2 million apiece, I think. And
Mueller calls them Company A and
Company
B.
And
you want to take any guesses on who they are?
And basically, these two lobbying firms, these American-based lobbying firms, are hired by Manafort to represent Yanukovych in Washington, D.C., and raise the profile of Yanukovych. Both of the firms are owned by Tony Podesta.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Podesta is the brother of John Podesta, who ran the Clinton campaign. So you have Manafort hiring the brother of his future rival And then years later, they're going against each other as they run each other's campaigns.
Yeah, you had the Podesta group and Mercury.
Exactly.
And that's what the Mueller investigation's really about.
Well, once they've gotten cleared out all this other stuff. It's hilarious how they went after Trump for this Russian collusion. And then you realize it's not even really, on the surface, Russia colluding with Trump. It's the Clinton State Department using the State Department as a pay-for-play. And all these lobbying groups, I mean, working in the Ukraine, in Georgia, in all these bloc states, and Russia. I mean, and then Russia, Russian companies, you know, which all Russian companies, especially energy, gas, whatever, nuclear companies, are owned by the state. They're all vertically integrated.
And on Twitter, Trump's acts all outraged at Mueller. Yeah. I think it was all just a play. He made the Democrats and the left commit to this. To this investigation, he made them commit, put all their energy behind, get Trump with Mueller, and then he spun it all right back
well,
on.
Well, what's really crazy?
Wishful thinking.
Really
what,
smart
no, what's
man
really crazy?
Presidential office, but, very very smart.
It's AD Chess.
He's been planning this.
But here's the deal:
since before he was president, I think.
Well, he's had to have known, but
he's known
how crooked Hillary is. But once you look at all the players, then you realize, and especially when it gets into her State Department years. Then you realize you've got Comey, you've got Mueller. All these guys have to have known about this.
Right.
And then you're like,
because
well,
the State Department doesn't do anything, especially when you've got Mueller, who was, he was literally, he's involved with, there was in Georgia, a plutonium bust, uranium bust, underground black market that was sold. They caught this guy, he had all this uranium, they're trying to figure out where it came from, so they shipped some of it to the U.S., some of it to Russia. I mean, they alleged it was too dirty to figure out where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
But Robert Mueller literally was on a plane and flew to Russia and delivered the result with the uranium that was from this uranium. But, oh my God, there's so many.
So you're saying all these people, but Tony Podesta.
All these people are dirty,
and they have to know. He was just hired to lobby. He didn't do anything wrong.
No,
he's
but
not a bad guy. He's not corrupt.
He didn't
he
do anything
did
wrong.
Job, right?
But he also was money laundering. Both those firms were laundering money,
right?
Yeah,
which comes out in another leak in the what's it called the Cayman I, what is it? What was the leak
yeah,
that came out?
The Panama Papers.
The Panama Papers. Yeah. All those companies are leaked. So, they're all tied together. The foreign you're looking at literally the shadow government who actually runs shit is the unelected officials and the people who are in the nominated. You know, who are always, they've been there since the Bush era, the first Bush era.
There's a great book that I'm listening to the audiobook version right now called This Town by Mark Leibovich, and he outlines some of his characters along with his follow-up, Citizens of the Green Room. Great, great read. You've got it just gives you the character of Washington. So Manafort, let me kind of outline basically what Manafort got charged with. He got charged with money laundering. And essentially, he made $80 million in the Ukraine working for Yanukovych and representing him. And he took $18 million of that and laundered it, apparently. And so they found $18 to $19 million in money that was spent in, like, I wish I had the piece of paper, maybe I do here, that, like, what he spent it on was insane. Essentially, his son-in-law was a terrible real estate investor and started...
Is he Donald Trump Jr.?
Basically, he just started... he was basically failing as a real estate investor and got upside down. And so I keep getting Mueller and Manafort mixed up. Manafort starts bailing him out and starts taking loans out. And so...
Help me, Daddy.
It's not just loans. He was taking out like four mortgages on a $14 million house that he had.
Exactly.
So he's up to his nose. I think it was close to $40 million in back owed.
Mortgages. The Intercept has done great coverage of this, and the Intercept actually was the first to report on Manafort having $19 million in real estate in New York City, and where did that money come from? Like a year ago, and The Intercept really outlined this very well in a couple of their posts, so I'd encourage you to go check out The Intercept and their Manafort coverage. But they basically said that there are some reports that say that 30% of the real estate market in New York City and the upper real estate, it's all money laundering. And like this is why Trump doesn't want to put out his tax returns, because it's very common for the wealthy to do this. What they do is they take money, especially money that they make overseas, they put it into an overseas account, an offshore account, someplace like in the Cayman Islands or...
Ireland.
What were the two that he used? Was it Cyprus and...
I do believe Cyprus was
and
one.
And Grenadine? It was like, it's off the coast of Brazil. I'd never even heard that it was a
they're
country.
All, yeah, they all have no taxes.
Right.
And super loose banking laws.
Like, if you watch Narcos, this last season of Narcos, they show you where all this money laundering takes place. And so, basically what he was doing is he was wiring money from his offshore accounts to buy goods. So he would buy real estate. And so what these rich guys do is they buy real estate. They wire money from their offshore account. They buy the real estate in New York, and then they take a loan or a mortgage or an equity loan out on the actual property, and then that money's clean.
Yeah.
So go ahead and talk so I can cough.
Well, wow. The problem – the underlying problem with this is you're doing a job. I mean, you know – they even filed – Manafort even filed taxes on this money. Like, the government knew he was making this money over there. But you can't bring it back without getting hit with a, you know, 50% tax
exactly,
rate.
Which so, is why they do it this way.
So that's
yeah.
why they do it. I mean, who the hell wants to go work for – get an $80 million check and then
right.
I mean, have to pay 40 to the government.
Right. And so they do it in these
that's
offshore
just
accounts.
Federal shit.
So, like, he spent $900,000 on Oriental rugs.
Who hasn't? We've all been drunk on Amazon.
Jeff Vivert does that every Thursday night.
No, like, import. Yeah, he gets his sushi imported.
Right. So you
on dry ice.
So you have he spent like $100,000 on clothes in this one store in Beverly Hills, and the guy was and the New York Times was like totally unapologetic. He was like, yeah, all these guys. Here's a picture of George W. Bush with his dad buying a suit. You know, and
billionaires.
Right. And so they buy stuff that they use. They buy stuff that, like, an Oriental rug will over time increase in its value.
Yeah, it's like buying a
real
painting,
estate,
you know, or
exactly.
a super expensive rare car. I mean,
exactly.
It's an investment.
So he's really, it's tax evasion is kind of what he's charged with. That's what they're pissed off about. Now, as libertarians, I can't really get mad about him evading taxes, to be honest. Like, I've got $800 that I owe them next paycheck, and I'm not happy about it. So I'm kind of on Manafort's side here. But he did deceive and lie, and that is against the non-aggression principle. Is it not? Defraud?
I don't know, but you're lying to the government. So, I mean...
That's a good point. That you got a strong point.
Come on,
there.
That's a pretty good argument,
right? It is,
I mean,
the government.
Self-government really exist?
Right. Yeah, like, kind of with you on that. So,
the Bill of Rights?
Now, I mean, I don't think he's a shady character. I mean, he's a shady character.
Now, when they talk about registering as a foreign agent, this is something that...
That's paperwork.
Yeah.
Which Tony Podesta just went back and did.
He did that.
Retroactively.
He did. Yeah.
Just like 2 weeks ago.
Right. Yep. Nobody does it. Nobody registers as a foreign agent. It's bullshit. And it's basically just paperwork that's useless that nobody
Unless
cares
you're
about.
Something.
Right.
Or running for government. How do these guys not, like, that's what gets me. That shows you how, I don't know how it works, though. I think you have to do it on every transaction.
Does
or
a
something.
Guilty person go back and do that? Yeah.
I would as fuck.
If you were guilty?
Yeah, especially if I'm hiding what they're hiding.
Right.
Then your
because
boss,
that's
your
all tied.
Your boss flew in and saw you on Sunday, Clinton. Because came in and saw met with Tony Podesta this Sunday.
Right.
Then he steps down the next day.
There's a good chance.
Is that true?
Yeah. There's a good chance he ends up...
Steps down the next day.
He ends up getting suicided.
Well, Tony Podesta was the one who was at the center of Pizzagate.
Tony Podesta was Clinton's... Hillary Clinton's campaign manager.
Yeah. It's the brother. What's it?
They both are.
Tony
both,
is the brother.
No, Tony... Tony's
John
the
was the manager.
John's the
John's
campaign
the,
manager.
Yeah,
Tony's
the brother.
Tony's
the fat bastard who has the dungeon in his basement where he looks at art.
With the pedophile
statues. Yeah.
Right.
Which is real.
Right. Yeah. With the pedophile statues.
Pizzagate or not, all of that is real.
Right.
Yeah, all the art. Yeah, they show it off. There's a Washington Post or Washington Times.
So you think, you have this grin on your face like, I'm right. Like, so what do you think? You think your theory goal is that the Mueller investigation was somehow orchestrated by Donald Trump to set the Clintons up to investigate them for Pizzagate?
No, not well. It might lead to Pizzagate. He Trump has seemed like he's
optimistic.
Wanting to go hot at the pedos, but
he's anti Anti-pedo is a good stance for a president, if I'm being honest.
As a member of NAMBLA, I am not aware not going any further with
this. We had a president in the 90s that's apparently okay with it.
That's satire, Tad, is not... just keep your blonde co-eds away from him.
they don't get out of the basement.
So Tony is a longtime insider who's, you know, Pizzagate was... I don't know. You can go Google and get lost on it all day long.
Well, Pizzagate originated from the Podesta... emails.
The leaked
emails.
Join me in Building 7 on Discord if you want to talk about Pizzagate.
And there's so much, there was so much there. It's so fucking weird. I spent countless numbers of hours going through all the, I think I read every email.
The wall.
And I'm like, what are the fuck are these people talking about?
I went back
and read some of them last night.
Oh, it's illegal to cater food into the White House? They don't do it. It's not allowed?
Really?
But why are there emails with Podesta about ordering pizza?
Obama was...
Why?
Obama, they don't do that.
That's not allowed to happen at the White House.
Obama was buying
hot dogs. They're not talking about pizza.
He was buying hot dogs, $50,000 worth of hot dogs from Chicago flown in to D.C.
You left your red and white handkerchief at my barn last night. That was one of the emails.
What's a barn and a handkerchief?
Why is it so important that you get your handkerchief back?
what are you implying?
Because they're not talking about a handkerchief. It's code.
It's all code. It's all... There's all kind. It's hilarious because
when you're into something that deep and dark, you don't talk about it. You don't talk about it in real words.
You don't email about it.
Like if you're trying to talk about drugs,
well,
you
that's
use
why
up fake names. For
well,
them.
Pizza
you don't
is
people know what
pizza
you're
has
about.
Been known
like Comcast.
Pizza has been known as code for children that are on the menu.
FBI report.
That's on FBI
that's
for that. That's where this shit gets kind of. Where it intertwines with, right, it might be a conspiracy, but then these pizza, do they really like pizza? Do they really like hot dogs? Like what? And then it's like cheese pizzas, like little boys, and like there's all kinds of fucked up shit. There's a whole, dude, I was sick as fuck for like a day after reading all, because I was like, what are these people talking about? Then you start Googling shit, and you're like,
the same players that are involved in this uranium stuff are involved in that.
It's all heads of state. It's all
remind me of the whole uranium one deal. Like you guys,
you don't want to talk about no.
It's tied in here. No, frankly, I'm tired of the pedo talk.
We'll get back to pizza. I'm getting hungry.
I'm sorry. I would like to move on to uranium. The Ukrainian rights. What happened with the Clintons and the Obamas and the Ukrainian rights? I mean, every conservative I know is posting about this. What are they posting about? What's the deal here?
That has a great summary on how it all got started.
Well, you have to go back to the Clinton. This all this shit is so intertwined. You go back to 2009, I believe. Hillary Clinton and Obama. You remember the reset button with Russia and all that shit, where she goes over there and gives the head of state. Oh, we're resetting our relationship because we're gonna try to work together and all this shit. You know, God forbid that we have be on friendly terms with Russia. You know,
yeah, they're our enemies. For
yeah,
life.
And I mean now you know,
no matter
years
what
later,
they are.
So Obama sets up a U.S.-Russia relationship on also a council is what they call it. Hillary Clinton and the prime minister at the time, it's Sergey.
Yeah,
Lavrov. I don't think it was Lavrov. Lavrov was the foreign minister.
Yeah, you're talking about Medvedev.
Medvedev.
I'm bad at names.
Medvedev.
It's hold on. Let me. I've got it all. I've got about 19 different. And this is all. This aren't like InfoWars.
Here's the thing about Tad is that Tad is one of the funniest, quickest people I know.
Kiryenko is his last name.
Nobody gives less of a shit about anything than Tad Western.
Unless you're Clinton and you're trying to cover up crime.
But like when Tad comes to do a podcast, Tad comes in with like pages of prep.
Mm-hmm. And we never get to any of them because I'm half shit faced.
You usually are. Like I know.
We're getting through a lot this episode.
It's different because Tad's usually like...
Most time I'd stop by the bar, and then I'd have one or two,
right.
And I'd get here, and I'd be like, all right, I'm primed and ready to go, and then the next thing you know, it's like, all right,
you'd
slam four beers, and then
podcast
next thing you know,
already over.
Next thing you know, we got to put up rules about how there's a two-beer limit, you know?
Right.
Tad's, well, Well, Tad's tearing shit up.
The house rules have woefully been broken. You're not supposed to start marriages. You're not supposed to end marriages. Yeah. You're not supposed to break things and annoy mittens. You're not supposed to get too drunk.
You're not supposed to pass out on air.
Listen.
Shit happens when you party naked, all right? And I've got the documents to back it up.
So, like, Tad, I always thought, interrupted me because he was drunk. It's just that Tad likes to interrupt.
I love to interrupt.
He's so excited about getting this information out.
I've got the info, but then I can't get it out.
You got the documents, right?
Yeah.
Tell us how this deal happened. How did this deal happen?
So Obama set it up. It was Hillary Clinton and Sergey Kiryenko.
She was the Secretary of State, so that makes sense.
She was Secretary of State, which is, you know, it's what you do. So they do all this.
What's the conclusion? What's their deal?
The conclusion is
we're going to give Russia 20%.
No, this was way before all that. This is way before this. They sat on a board together. This is where he meets Frank Giustra, who is the Canadian billionaire who started Lionsgate and owned a mining company in Ukraine, which turns out this shit. I wish I had a graph right now because my mind, there's so many intertwined things. Also, the man, Sergey, is the head of Rosatom at the time. Which is the company who owns Fusion GPS, right?
Rosatom. Haha, got him.
Rosatom.
Right.
Rosatom, which it's a state-owned energy company from Russia. Which, who sits at the top of it? Sergey Kiryenko.
Oh, the same guy.
Which, Rosatom's parent company... Is anybody want to guess? Their parent company. It's a Russian owned company as well. It's a big ass long word. But anyway, it's called Atom Energy. It's like eight words put together. These Russians are so. It's Atom Energo Prom.
All right,
which is
I got it.
Can you pronounce it? I can't pronounce words.
I got a whole infograph.
I can barely read.
I got a whole infograph from
English
the New York
is hard.
Times.
No, fuck the New York Times. This is Tad Western Times, damn it. So anyway, this is Russian. This company owns vertically integrated Rosatom.
Okay.
This is the nuclear power plant. This company literally built, go back in time to 2006. This is the company who partnered with Iran to build the nuclear power plants in Iran. Now, you remember, we're tough on the Russian sanctions. They can't get over certain enrichment. They can't get over a certain enrichment. So, the head of this company, Sergey is. They're on a board together, him and Clinton. They've already built these power companies, and they are trying. I don't think it's Russian American collusion here. It's him saying, listen, I need to get these power plants in Iran,
right,
Iran up and running, you know, because we got all these sanctions. They're tough on these guys until you get up to 2000 and I believe it was 2011.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was December 2011 is when it goes on, or is it 2010. So yeah, it was right at the turn of 2011 is when they flip the switch on those power plants. So all this is going on at the exact same time, behind closed doors. And then come to find out, you do this, how about you buy Frank Giustra's company, and then we'll sell you the rights under Fusion GPS. Is it Fusion GPS?
Right? Fusion GPS was the...
No, that was Dossier.
That's the Dossier.
God damn it, I got all
here,
these companies.
All right, let me sum it up,
you
okay?
It.
Let me
sum
do
it. Sum it up.
Frank Giustra and runs this company called Eurasia, and he and Bill Clinton go to Kazakhstan, and he gets in Kazakhstan this major mining deal out of Kazakhstan, and then a few days after that...
Well, Bill Clinton was also paid $500,000 for that
speech,
for a two-hour speech, but listen, Bill Clinton, this is another fucked up thing, which came out. Bill Clinton was doing all these speeches, and they had to sign that he was not going to get paid by any outside... He had to sign. This was a legal document that the State Department, when she took the job, Bill Clinton had to sign paperwork saying that he wasn't going to be paid by any outside any outside governments. He wasn't going to be a foreign agent.
He didn't get paid by anyone.
He didn't get paid by any, but
he didn't make a dollar.
There was, they got around it by paying the Clinton Foundation or the Clinton Global Initiative.
Yep.
Which, okay, they got you on technicality. But
the technicality.
But no,
it's
no, no,
money
no.
Laundering.
Here, no.
It's political money laundering.
All of these were approved. The U.S. government approved all of these.
Right.
From the State Department that Hillary Clinton ran.
So right. Obama if you're trying knew to say that, every single bit of it.
And he had to sign off on it. So right. This isn't just, oh, Hillary Clinton's, you know, and Huma Abedin's over there signing her name. No. All these fuckers knew about it. And not only that, Mueller and fucking Comey, they had to have known about it.
Sure.
Because
it was $145 million.
He's the president.
Of course they knew about it.
They knew about all this shit. So this is going on. So Frank Giustra's got the mining company. He's
all right, hold on.
He gets the rights.
Tad, I'm going to need you to sit back. Have oh, he's screeching now.
The globalists!
Sit back and have a, have a sarsaparilla.
Autism alert.
He's going to start drinking.
No, this shit's so deep.
Frank Giustra runs a Canadian a company called Eurasia, and he locks up the Kazakhstan mining deal. Mm-hmm. So then in February of 07, Eurasia merges with a South African mining company, and they become Uranium One. They expanded into the U.S. In 08, negotiations begin for an investment in Uranium One by the Russian Atomic Energy Agency, Rosatom. Uranium One and former Eurasia investors make an $8.65 million donation to the Clinton Foundation. Uranium One investors stand to profit on a Rosatom deal. In 09, Rosatom subsidy arms takes a 17% ownership stake in Uranium One. Mm-hmm. In the next year, investors give millions more in donations to the Clinton Foundation. In June of 2010, Rosatom, the Russian atomic agency, seeks majority ownership of Uranium One, pending approval by the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, of which the State Department is a member.
Who was running the State Department?
Hillary Clinton was running it at the time. The Treasury Secretary had to sign off on it, Timothy Geithner, and the president was also involved.
How the hell did we let Russians take control of our uranium?
It's only mining rights.
Right. So Rosatom says it does not plan to increase its stake in Uranium One or to take the company private. Now, later that month, Bill Clinton...
It's not a company, though.
Hold on. Later that month, Bill Clinton is paid $500,000 for a speech in Moscow by a Russian investment bank with ties to the Kremlin that assigned a buy rating to Uranium One stock. In October of 2010, later that year, Rosatom's majority ownership is approved by the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. And in 2013, Rosatom takes full control of Uranium One and takes it private, and they have a 100% stake. So are direct ties where Bill Clinton is receiving money while his wife is the Secretary of State. He's taking $500,000 from the Russians and the Kremlin.
But what you're not also
indirectly
seeing there.
In while his wife is Secretary of State. Like that's
it's not no, that's fine.
No, it's not.
It's that's the free market. It's the free market when you run the government.
I guess, man.
No, it's completely fucked. And if they say there's no, oh, it's hilarious because you look on the right and they don't even tie it together back as far as what it is. But all this is tied to if you look into the Clintons, everything, there's all kinds of uranium deals. I went through last night and looked at Hillary Clinton State Department.
Podesta lobbied for Uranium One.
Yeah, the Podesta group lobby for them. They're all tied together. There's a circle. They're all embedded together.
Over and over again, we see the same corrupt players.
And they're all getting...
And no one's doing anything about it.
You can literally look at when Bill Clinton gives a speech, and then he gets paid $500,000, but then magically, the foundation gets $38 million, you know, here, $100 million. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the Clinton Foundation's like financials, they get paid... They pay for all the Clintons' housing, all their private fleets. They run... They don't...
It was their
nonprofit.
It was
they
basically their
money.
Onshore bank account.
Yes.
They treated it just like Manafort treated his Cayman Islands account.
You could do a whole month-long episodes just every day about how deep this shit is and how far back it goes.
And you say they don't have our uranium, but they did. That's what their whole defense was before, was that, you know, they can own, it's like an investment, so it's still in America, it's right. Fine, all the uranium.
But the argument you'll hear is, oh, this was approved, and it was a board that approved it. And it's not Russia. It's a company.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. You look at all you gotta do is click on Wikipedia. You click on this company's owned by parent company. Ross Adam by, oh, you mean oh, it's literally just a government. Russian state 100%.
It's
it
a
literally
shell.
Says 100% owned.
It's a shell corporation.
Yeah, right. All they do is shuffle uranium around. I mean, it's...
So their whole argument was that none of the uranium had left America, but that's what we're learning now.
Yeah.
They moved it to Canada and then moved it out of the country.
Yeah. Right. Which Frank Giustra is Canadian.
So their whole entire defense is gone. There's no more defense left for the left. The left is out of left.
All you have to do is just follow the trail. Kill yourself.
Just follow the money. Gosh. I mean, it's insane. And hopefully, but here's where you're more of an optimistic. You're more optimistic than I am. That
oh,
because
man.
Bob Mueller,
if Galt is more optimistic than you,
Bob Mueller's balls deep in all this. He if they actually go down that route, which Trump wants. I mean, Trump needs to do is call for a congressional investigation into the uranium.
They're
war.
Already starting it. Brassy.
That's what Trump needs
Brassy's
to do.
Brassy's doing and do it
because Mueller would have to recuse himself. He'd have to.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way he could investigate under this.
And then depending
current
on
Russian
how the investigation finishes, that's when Trump can make his move on Mueller.
Yeah,
and out Mueller too.
Which they're all balls deep
will,
and in
will
bed
he
together.
Will he come out and go ha 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 and tweet
you're fired.
Well, he'll probably tweet it but
yeah he'll probably tweet it
when
yeah.
when you talk about like this is how shit's been ran forever. No, I would like to think it's not, but when you sit here and you're like, man, I think we've had these conversations before. How does the government, you know, I mean, we elect a president, how much can a president really,
man.
You know, you come in every 4-8 years and then you look at it, you go down these roads, and this is just shit we know about. This is on Wikipedia, on the New York Times. It took me 4 hours last night to fucking put this together.
No, I literally didn't, on the Mueller stuff, I literally read nothing but the New York Times for the last 3 days and
this
read those articles.
Reporting.
And it literally, I mean, it's, my conclusion is based on reading the New York Times. You don't have to go to 4chan to see, like, Papadopoulos was a dumbass who isn't somebody who is anyone of any significance. It's just if you apply a little bit of common sense to it, you go, oh, there really isn't much here. The president didn't collude with the Russians to steal the election. And then I went and read another New York Times article about the internet being taken from us. And then I went and read another New York Times article about the by Dylan Byers on the Facebook campaign. And it just go, like, you can read the mainstream media and see basically
they
everything
just, done
that
with
you
it.
Need to see. Yeah. Like, we just read a New York Times timeline of Uranium One. Like, it's all right there. It's not that you have to go to 4chan or Zero Hedge or Breitbart or whatever.
If you wanted it a year ago, you could have, like, I've known
listened
all
to
this shit,
libertarians.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you listen. I mean, shit, we were talking about this. I've talked about it before. I mean, but people don't, oh, if it's not on CNN, then it's not true. You know?
I watched 3 hours of CNN today.
How? Were you sedated?
I watch CNN pretty much every day. At work, I'll turn CNN on and I'll have it all in the background. Excuse me.
It's a joke.
Like, CNN, sorry, I yawned.
He has
CNN,
to know the rhetoric he's trying to combat.
That's exactly right. I want to know what the overarching...
what their arguments are?
Their themes.
No, I want to watch the overarching themes of what's being covered in the news that mm-hmm. day. And I want to see what regular people are watching and seeing. So we can talk about it here and go, okay, well, here's the reality of the situation. And when I watched 3 hours of CNN today, and it's nothing but the Russia investigation, and it's nothing but Papadopoulos, and it's nothing but Manafort, and they never even mention the Donna Brazile story that we're about to cover in those 3 hours, the only time they touched on it was in an interview with Andre Carson, my congressman, who is head of the Senate Foreign Intelligence Committee, who was interviewed about the Facebook advertising stuff, and then they happened to ask him about Donna Brazile as a throwaway question.
Isn't James Nice running against him?
Yeah, he is. James is running an aggressive campaign, I think.
and he's always aggressive.
It's outrageous to me to sit there and watch CNN, and like, I gotta stop because my blood pressure can't take it.
You're like me.
I'm like, yeah, I'm
you
too
need
woke.
A beer.
I'm too woke.
Yeah. Ted talks about this story being a puzzle, and you'd think that the puzzles that are public that CNN would talk about, those puzzle
anchors.
Pieces, they are public knowledge that they've been, Brazil talked about it herself, but those puzzle pieces aren't talked about.
Never. They never put it together
even
like
the public
always,
ones. Now,
it always implements
the private,
all of
the
them.
Ones that you don't know, the puzzle pieces that are a mystery, that's what we could talk about.
Well what I want to know is where I think,
oh shit! He's trying to get, look at the grin on his face.
Well, when you go back in the timeline that I was talking about, when
And I just went back to the Secretary of State when Hillary Clinton
took
over.
Yeah, you didn't even talk about Bill Clinton meeting with Putin in his house.
None of that. I didn't even go back that far. But just the shit. I literally went on Wikipedia, and you just go through what Hillary... I went by year, and you can just look. Okay, let's Google this guy. Oh, shit. He worked for, you know... Okay, man. There's ties. There's so many ties. I mean, it's not evidence that there was anything wrongdoing, but now what you see is coming out. It's not hard to tell what was going on. But what I want to know is those fucking emails that were deleted and the home server that was supposedly had nothing on it.
Oh, there was so much on there.
You know all the all
those
the
emails
shit.
Were everything.
You know all that shit.
Yep.
All right. I'm gonna ask you.
You know that's the evidence.
I know you're woke, and I know you got the documents.
I'm woke.
I'm gonna ask you both to take it. Sit back.
Oh, okay.
All right. Sit back and let's have story time. All right.
Tell me a story.
I'm gonna tell you a story. All right. I need you to not yell.
You got any water? I'll go get.
Yeah,
water.
Go get some water. Just take a break. You're getting very, very aggressive.
I'm not aggressive. I hate the globalist, man.
I know you. No one hates the globalist like Tad Western.
I just took a fucking knife to the arm.
All right. Let me tell you a story, Chris Galt.
All right.
All right. This,
tell me a story, Spangle.
This is a woman named Donna Brazile, and Donna is a former Clinton staffer. She helped in the. She came up in the ranks of the Clinton campaigns. Went on to manage the Al Gore campaign in 2000, first black female to do so. Very smart woman. Somebody that I've watched on CNN over many years. Somebody that I've always found to be honest in her presentation, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that doesn't seem to just be a blind partisan, but she's definitely partisan.
She seems to have principles that she stands on about.
Exactly, even though she's a dirty leftist that, you know, and is not a moral agent and therefore should be thrown out of helicopters, according to Jim's niece.
Chinooks.
So I don't dislike Donna Brazile. All right. I think that she is one of those Democrats that I could hang out with. Now, Donna, it came out in these emails that she had passed on to the Clinton campaign some questions that would be in a primary debate between her and Bernie Sanders. She had passed on some of the CNN questions for a CNN debate to them, and she was fired from CNN.
Yeah, she was working at CNN.
And early on, that was a lot of the outrage from those leaks emails, is that collusion with the DNC and Clinton campaign.
It wasn't just that. It was Hillary would literally get emails from, I was reading these last night, from journalists and whoever was
before
writing
the
story.
They would,
before they published it, they say, Huma I'd send them to them.
Right, to like Jake Tapper, Glenn Thrush.
All of them. Any journalist, you can go through there, any journalist. You can Google their name in the Hillary Clinton emails on WikiLeaks, and it will literally be the article 2 days before they run it, and then they'll send back an article. You know, here's the narrative. We need this. We need that.
Right.
Ted stole your story again.
Calm down.
He sat down and stole your story.
Hacked. I know all this. Tell me something I don't know.
Hacked, but the people don't know. We got to tell the people. So she's got a new book out called Hacks, the inside story of break-ins and breakdowns that put Donald Trump in the White House. And so Brazile, after the emails leaked, and it showed on the eve of the DNC convention where Hillary was to be crowned, all these leaks exploded. And it showed that Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was the current head of the Democratic Party, had basically tilted everything in favor of Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders never really had a chance, and it was very embarrassing for her, so she was let go. Mm-hmm. And then Donna Brazile, who was respected by all different factions of the party, which is a very difficult thing to do in a coalition party like the Democrats. She was liked by the Obama people, the Clinton people.
She took control.
She came in. Now... she wrote a piece.
Yeah, to control.
She wrote a piece Spoiler. Today in Politico magazine called Inside Hillary Clinton's Secret Takeover of the DNC. It's got so much traffic at this point that if you Google the word Politico, it comes up first.
Wow.
That is
great.
Yeah. So,
and it's not mentioned on CNN today, is it, what you told you said.
In 3 hours.
And Twitter's censoring it.
So here's how she begins it.
Of course.
Now, knowing she is part of the collusion to get Hillary Clinton the nomination, this is how she begins her piece. Before I called Bernie Sanders, this is how she talks. Before I called Bernie Sanders, I lit a candle in my living room and put on some gospel music. I wanted to center myself for what I knew would be an emotional phone call. I had promised Bernie when I took the helm of the DNC after the convention that I would get to the bottom of whether Hillary Clinton's team had rigged the nomination process. As a cache of emails stolen by Russian hackers and posted online had suggested, I'd had my suspicions from the moment I walked in the door in the DNC a month earlier or so, based on the leaked emails. But who knew if some of them might have been forged? I needed to have solid proof, and so did Bernie. So she follows the money. And her predecessor, Schultz, had not been the most active, she says, fundraising chair. And mm-hmm. at a time when President Obama's neglect had left the party in significant debt.
Oh, yeah.
As Hillary's campaign gained momentum, she resolved to put the party on a starvation diet. And it had become dependent on her campaign for survival.
Yeah.
And she expected to wield control of its operations. Mm-hmm. Now, this was not unknown. It was not unreported. It was actually kind of scandalous. Going back to August of 2015, almost a full year before she was nominated, she had struck a deal that would allow her to basically fund the DNC and therefore have significant say-so in all of its operations.
She would pay off all their debt in return for
full control.
So she goes on to say that Debbie wasn't a good manager, and she hadn't been very interested in controlling the party, and she let the Clintons in Brooklyn do it. And so she didn't really – Donna was on the board, and she didn't really talk to the officers about any of the debt that they were in. So the Saturday morning after the convention, she called Gary Gensler, who's the CFO of Hillary's campaign, and he wasted no words. He told her that the Democratic Party was broke and $2 million in debt. She was shocked, and she's an officer of the party. They've been telling us everything's fine, and we're raising money with no problems. And that wasn't true, he said. So basically, Wasserman Schultz had been lying to her board.
They put a shadow over her, the eyes of the board.
Right.
They didn't even know what was going on.
Exactly.
Allegedly.
And so, you're telling me that the heads of the Democratic Party, and it's not like, you believe kind of what your officers tell you and what your executive directors tell you. I mean, but I worked at the Libertarian Party of Indiana, and you couldn't have been more disconnected to what we were doing if you were a board member.
Those are libertarians.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they couldn't have cared less and trusted me more, and yet they knew everything that was going on all the time. Like, this is the Democratic Party where you people are trying to run the country.
Yeah but what I got from the article was that it wasn't the actual Democratic Party. They hijacked it, and it was actually Hillary Clinton's campaign managers that were actually running the entire party.
Exactly. So here's what happened. So
is what she claims.
Yeah, the agreement was signed about 4 or 5 months before after she had announced she was a candidate.
So basically,
so long before the primary.
Yeah, vote. Obama left the party 24.
Which is fucked up.
Listen,
almost
to this.
A year before
Obama left the DNC, $24 million
in
debt.
Yeah.
$15 million in bank debt and $8 million owed to vendors after the 2012 campaign, and they'd been paying that off very slowly. Almost everybody knows you don't actually give credit to a political campaign because you will never see that money back. And the person who spent more money in the entire world history and raised debt in Barack Obama, I wouldn't give him credit.
None.
So those vendors are dummies in the first place. Obama's campaign was not scheduled to pay it off until 16. Hillary for America, the campaign, and Hillary Victory Fund, its joint fundraising vehicle with the DNC, had taken care of 80% of the remaining debt in 2016, about $10 million, and had placed the party on an allowance. Now listen, if I'm Hillary Clinton, and I've just taken care of millions of dollars of your debt because of your mismanagement, I would want control too, wouldn't
you? Where did your money come from, though? Oh, the uranium deal we just talked about.
No, it came from donors, but those people probably got a little taste of the Clinton, you know. So,
from what I read, she was paying it off with her own money. She personally paid it off.
So, she didn't personally pay it off. She fundraised for it.
Yeah.
And she used her lists, she used her donors, she used her email list to help fund this. And so Schultz wasn't very communicative. She only told them about the hacking minutes before the Washington Post broke the news.
The old Don Jr., huh?
So when she called Gary, the head of the CFO of the Clinton campaign, she said the DNC needed a $2 million loan, which the campaign had arranged. She said, that can't be true. The party cannot take a loan without unanimous agreement of all officers. And she's like, how did this happen? And Gary's like, it's not my problem. I'm on the campaign. And he described the party as fully under control of Hillary's campaign, which seemed to confirm the suspicions of the Bernie camp. And the campaign had the DNC on life support, giving it money every month to meet its basic expenses, while the campaign was using the party as a fundraising clearinghouse. Under FEC law, an individual can contribute a max of $2,700 to a presidential campaign, but the limits are much higher for contributions to state parties and a party's national committee. So you can send much more money to your state and local parties.
It's $30,000.
Tad, you have a lot of debt here. Let me add this ball and chain to your leg.
Right.
That's basically what they did. And yeah, campaign finance laws are very strict.
Right.
It's like $2,400 is the maximum contribution you can make to a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, oh, well, you made your maximum donation, but you have a lot more money than that you want to give to us. So the other way around it is, well, you can donate $10,000 to a state Democratic Party.
And then
so
they
there's
ship 50
that up states to- or 33 states that were eligible. So they donated $10,000 for each one, and now you have a maximum donation of like $300,000 instead of two.
So
that's
so
like 150 times more donation.
Listen up, libertarians, because this is the money you're up against.
Yeah.
Individuals who maxed out their $2,700 contribution limit to the campaign could write an additional check for $353,400 to the Hillary Victory Fund, which represents $10,000 to each of the 32 state parties who were part of the Victory Fund agreement, $32,000 and $33,400 to the DNC. The money would be deposited in the states first and transferred to the DNC shortly after that. Money in the battleground states usually stayed in the state, but all other states funneled that money to the DNC.
So that money went to those states, and then the DNC said, well, that's not really your money, so you have to give it back to us.
They kept like 1% of it.
So because it was illegal to donate all that money to the DNC.
And then the DNC quickly transferred that money to the Brooklyn headquarters for the Clintons.
But technically that it was supposed to be the DNC, which Bernie should have got some of it.
It's political money laundering.
It should, yeah, absolutely.
That's what it is.
But if you keep going on this article, it shows you how big of a cuck Bernie is, because she tells him, she tells him, and he's just like, well, we'll just
Can she win? Does she have a chance?
Quit jumping ahead.
I already know the story, man.
I know, but
this is old news.
We're on a news show.
I know. You people should know.
We are
this.
The news.
He's like, I've been on 4chan woke for 4 hours,
bruh. Bro. I read this 2 days ago.
News is really happening really fast.
I know.
Cycle. It's crazy. Every day there's something new. It's hard to keep up.
You guys should go subscribe to the Chris Spangle Show feed, because we're not going to do more than 2 shows a week here on We Are Libertarians. But because we've got so much news and I've got so much that I want to explain and talk about, I may start doing extra bonus shows over at the Chris Spangle Show feed. So go subscribe to that. You can just look for it in iTunes or wherever podcasts are sold. But I may start doing that soon, because there's a lot to talk about. So basically she's saying, you're telling me Hillary has been controlling it since before she got the nomination. And Gary said, yeah, or else the party would collapse. This is the deal that she and campaign manager Robbie Mook struck. They were burning at that point $3.5 to $4 million a month. That's double what it was when she was the interim chair 5 years before. And basically, Debbie didn't shrink in the off years, the consultants and everything. She just kept it all going and just was burning through cash.
People like getting paid, man.
They love getting paid. They're all leeches. So basically,
we need Rob Stark in here, man. We need some justice. I miss that guy.
The funny thing is, like, Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Hillary Clinton.
Her
you
hair?
Know,
that's the funniest part of all this.
Man. Hillary's, you know, saying we must build the party from the ground up. When our state parties are strong, we win. That's what happens. We will win.
Yet it's so hypocritical.
Yet the state parties kept less than half of 1% of the $82 million they had amassed from the fundraising.
That's how much was laundered from those state parties to the DNC.
And Politico called it money laundering, and Hillary's people got mad. But that's exactly what it was. And, you know, and
it's not illegal. It's not illegal because we made the law, so we know what we can do.
It's the exact same.
That's what they say.
It's the exact same mentality of the Bill Clinton speeches. Oh, Bill never got a penny from the Ukraine.
Yeah, right. They never paid him.
But our But we did. The group, our group did. That pays all of our bills.
And the like, group what? That's the yeah. same group that covered all the DNC's debt.
Yeah,
yeah. It's all fucking. So she points out.
Web
I
of
to,
lies.
I wanted to believe Hillary, who made campaign finance reform part of her platform, but I made the pledge to Bernie and did not want to disappoint him. So she kept asking to look for the agreements. They wouldn't show them to her. When she came back, somebody anonymously put the joint fundraising agreement on her desk. The agreement was signed by Amy Dacey, the former CEO of the DNC, and Robbie Mook, with a copy to Mark Elias. And look up Mark Elias, because he had some strange tie to like some of the Mueller stuff, too, I think. Mark, M-A-R-C, never trust a guy with an M-A-R-C Mark name. And Elias, E-L-I-A-S, specified that in exchange for raising money and investing in the DNC, Hillary would control the party's finances, strategy, and all the money raised. Her campaign had the right of refusal, who would be the party communications director, and it would make final decisions on all other staffing. It was also required to consult with the campaign about all other staffing, budgeting, data, analytics, and mailings. I had been wondering why it was why I couldn't write a press release without passing it through Brooklyn. Well, here was the answer. So she had control financially and in every aspect of the entire party starting in August 2015.
A year before the primary.
And Bernie Sanders never had a chance.
Never. Why Everyone else knew that. They just weren't dumb enough to try.
Why do you think nobody ran against her?
Yeah, nobody.
Right. Because they all knew behind
Everyone
the scenes.
Else knew.
Right. But I imagine Bernie Sanders knew too, and that's why he took it.
Bernie was in the dark. He even said himself he only ran as a Democrat for media attention.
But he basically, yeah, you're right. He goes on to say, you know,
if you ever covered the...
Well, I guess I'll keep running. I'll keep trying.
You ever covered the Tim Kaine and when he was Tim Kaine Hillary Clinton mm-hmm. connection about how he was how the only reason he got the job
no.
because she that I can't remember how the exact story goes, but it's a pretty good one.
So why
look into that?
Why does the media not care about this story at all?
I don't know.
There's demand for the story because I mean, like you said, political is up on Google. Why would you
crazy
not
white
ratings
right-wing.
Are money right? Wouldn't this bring you ratings if you're a news company?
Because I think it's like...
Isn't it just about profit in capitalist society?
I feel like it's real corruption.
It's just corruption.
I feel like it's real corruption, and I don't even buy into it being a leftist thing.
It's
because
not.
It definitely is. If you watch all these news outlets, like these everybody on the mainstream media definitely have a left bent. I also do think that there's a healthy dose of I hate all sides. I'm just cynical. But when it comes to this, it's so seedy. The Clintons are so seedy and so dirty that it's almost like the public can't handle that there is a political operation, a political machine in this country at such a high level for so long.
It's been called the Clinton machine,
but.
They've been doing it since Arkansas.
But it's like the country and the media can psychologically handle it if it's a right-wing conspiracy.
Which, you know what's crazy? They project what they're doing onto whoever they're running against or whatever, right. Their opposition. And this ties into the JFK files, which we can get into that.
Okay.
It does, though.
Which That's the CIA and FBI had, it was, what, 30-something at least?
40.
Numerous that they...
40
that they released.
Covert CIA agents that working, were working in the mainstream media.
Really?
Yes. Back when in JFK.
Yeah. I mean, so.
What do you think it's like now?
Molf Blitzer is certainly one.
Does that not.
Yeah. So when Alex Jones says Anderson Cooper of CIA.
He is. Does that not explain, though, the phenomenon of the media not wanting that profit driven by the market? Is the, in your corruption that you speak.
It was in the WikiLeaks.
It's because they're agents.
They work hand
they're deep
in
state
hand.
Agents.
They work hand in hand with Hillary
Clinton.
Not every
one of them, of course, but enough.
You got to talk one at a time, by the way.
Where they can influence those things.
Right.
They work hand in hand with them. What news they want to put out
we
and how to
spin
it. We
work hand in hand of talking. Yeah, we work hand in hand.
It's in the WikiLeaks. All you got to do is read it. Remember, CNN came out and said...
No, read the JFK documents.
Here's the thing.
LBJ was in the KKK. Hitler is still alive. We've been lied to our entire lives.
No, we've been right.
Here's the thing. All right, here's why I don't.
Lee Harvey Oswald was a CIA agent.
Here's why I don't buy a lot of it. Okay, and why I don't buy into a lot of your conspiracies is that I've been around these people. I've worked around the people that are like I've worked with people who are working for the vice president. Like, I know the people who have spent their entire career working for the current vice president of the United States, and they're not bright people.
Those people have no idea what's going on.
Right. But so
they just work there.
It's like the idea that Donald Trump is either the he's this buffoon who is a complete idiot who if you tell him anything it will end up Twitter and it will end up getting leaked, or he's the greatest Russian spy of all time that somehow managed to overthrow Facebook and every conventional communication method to get elected. Like, you cannot have both. And so, like, I do believe that the Clintons are corrupt, and I do believe that the Clintons, like, I think it's all right here. Like, the Uranium One stuff is all right there. It's just, why does it not become that day's narrative? I think it's because we have a press that is completely dependent on advertising and therefore their audience, and their audience are all a bunch of, as Tad might call them, beta cucks, who with the horn-rimmed glasses, who are sitting there watching.
Did you read my tweet earlier?
Right. Like, it's people who are left-leaning in the first place, and so they aren't going to stay tuned in to watch Hillary Clinton get savaged. And the Republic can't quite handle this level of corruption, and so it'll just kind of go away on its own, and they'll just kind of self-implode, and they'll get washed out.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knows there's a little bit of government corruption or whatever, but, like, Trump, he's great for ratings. And so
that's why they're dying, though.
But it pisses me off. Like, during the commercial breaks on the stream on CNN Go, they've got this – every one of their commercials for CNN is just so self-righteous. It's, you know, this is an apple, and anyone that tries to tell you it's a banana is lying, because the fact is, it's an apple, and the facts matter. CNN. It's like...
That was paid for by George Soros.
Right. The facts don't matter anymore. Like,
no, they don't.
Like, there are no facts. It's like everything in international relations, like, we have our view... Like, think about our personal lives and extend it out. Like, think about what goes on in our personal lives. You get in a fight with a friend, and they have their point of view, and you have your point of view, and you were there at the same time with the same thing happening, but, like, you probably both have two completely different sides of the story.
Yeah, and that's where you're supposed to actually report, you know. The police report is what you go off of.
Right, and that's why you report all sides, and I don't think CNN does that because it's not good for their bottom line. It's not good for their business, and I think that... Most of them are so biased towards political power and to the left that they can't handle the fact that the Clintons would actually be like Genghis Khan, Hitler, Stalin level corrupt, which is what they are. Like, they are that corrupt. Like, they're not mass murderers, but I think if they were 150 years ago in Russia, they would be. Like, do you think that if Hillary Clinton had absolute power, she wouldn't just kill people? You know,
what are you talking about?
Yeah, what do you mean?
I don't think
you're... Are you being facetious?
No. What?
No, Google Seth Rich.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, Vince
what
Foster.
What do you mean she doesn't
Vince
kill
Foster.
People?
Yeah, I was about to say, don't you remember...
I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of bodies laying in a Ukrainian field is what
well,
I'm talking
about.
Well, she is responsible for Libya.
Benghazi and, yeah. You guys are right. You got me.
You know, day after the election, after Hillary
memories.
Clinton lost...
Hmm?
The CEO, CEO?
Yeah, the guy who went missing, the CEO of
Russia Today?
No.
Dead.
Really?
Interesting, right?
It's not
And Vitaly, you remember that guy? Churkin, the Russian ambassador to the UN.
Yep.
He was dead about a month later.
Nice.
You don't think those were Clinton kills?
I don't know, and I can't
that are related
prove that.
To this.
It's like the Rolling Stone reporter.
I talk about puzzle pieces you can't see. That's my thing.
I know you're playing 8D chess, but, while I'm just down here,
and I've been
3D.
Doing it for a while, and they're all coming clear, and everybody's seeing what we've been talking about now.
And
I'm
sick, and I have a cold because of fluoride.
No, I wouldn't go that deep. But when you talk about how much...
Galt's going there. He's
when
going
how,
there.
When how deep this shit
I'm
is.
Not, I'm not ever sick.
He's like,
I feel great.
He's like I tried to fight Creighton, and he's three times my size.
Woo.
He purifies the shit out of his water. Who was the reporter that
Mercedes just hit the...
Michael Hastings.
Yeah. What was he reporting on? Does anybody remember?
It was... He was reporting on...
General Petraeus.
Right. He was reporting on Petraeus and the Clinton Foundation and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Hillary Clinton doesn't kill people. That's where you started this statement with.
There's no way that I can prove... there's no way I can prove or disprove that.
You sound like Creighton.
Right.
Yeah, we couldn't prove any of this until the WikiLeaks came out.
Right.
Until the emails, the... Yeah, I mean,
and then when
there.
It comes out, you'll be like, oh, well, we figured that's what happened. You guys were talking about it 4 months ago.
Do I think
it's not a big deal. We all knew that she was killing people.
I do think that Michael Hastings was killed.
Who was
Michael Hastings killed by? I don't know.
It was the CIA.
But I don't know who killed Michael
Hastings.
We do
know who JFK was killed by now, though.
Who?
The CIA.
Lee Harvey Oswald. Come on, dude.
Now, what was in the actual JFK?
Would you like me to read it to you?
Yeah. You're so smug and arrogant. Like, look
how
at
did nobody read these?
I didn't get a chance to look into the JFK
stuff. He was shot.
Stuff.
The Surgeon General said he was shot.
Into the mic.
This is a quote.
Okay.
Well, now, the final area of my investigation relates to charges that the CIA was in some way conspiratorially involved in the assassination of President Kennedy. During the time of the Warren Commission, you were the deputy director of plans. Is that correct? Helms replied that he was.
Who's talking? Where's this from?
This is from the leaks. This is from statements.
Well, from what was released.
When they interviewed them.
Right.
When they interviewed him.
So who's talking to whom is what I'm saying.
Who's writing?
Let's see.
Oh.
It's LBJ.
Is he talking to LBJ? Was this
no,
John Wayne?
This has nothing to do with LBJ.
Okay.
This was when they were asking the CIA how they were involved.
Okay.
Helms is
they meaning the commission?
Yes.
The Warren Commission?
Is the deputy director of plans for the CIA.
Okay.
So
all
he
right.
knew about every investigation, every plan that they had.
Gotcha.
Okay. So he replied that he was that director, and then Bellin asked him, is there any information involved with the assassination of President Kennedy, which in any way shows that Lee Harvey Oswald was in some way a CIA agent? And then the document is redacted. There's your evidence. That is an admission of guilt. If
Why
you
would
are
you
afraid to show the truth,
say one more
then
time.
That is exactly what happened.
Repeat it.
Repeat the quote?
Yep. Repeat your smoking gun.
Is there any information involved with the assassination of President Kennedy, which in any way shows that Lee Harvey Oswald was in some way a CIA agent?
Okay.
And the answer is redacted.
Hmm. He was either CIA or FBI. That's kind of already been known.
The answer was incriminating. That's why it's redacted.
Right. Which is, are you disappointed, Galt, that like Trump didn't release everything?
No.
Why not?
He will. He's already said he's going to. He's...
So Trump took his jack of hearts in the game of euchre, and he said, I'm going to play it twice, and ripped half of it off and threw half of it on the table.
I don't know what that means.
And he won the hand. You don't play euchre?
I've never played Indiana.
Wow.
Never played.
From Mooresville.
Wow. Well, anyway.
Plainfield, wherever.
Jack of hearts wins every time if hearts is Trump.
Okay.
It's the best card in the game.
It's the Trump card.
He played it twice.
But he didn't release everything.
Right. He played it once, and he's going to play the rest again.
But see,
if he would have released, did anybody read what he released this time?
I didn't, no.
No. So if he would have released it all, would you have cared any more?
No.
So he's trying to get you to care.
If you look at the big picture, too.
I don't think he thinks that deep.
We need that demand.
I think he's kind of...
We need that demand for the rest of the documents.
And, like, you can say, Tad, like, oh, well, he said he's going to do this. Like, I don't...
What are you going off of? Are you going off of... Hold on, let me
I don't believe anything Donald Trump ever says, ever.
On what? Where do you interact with Trump
That's
at? On Twitter?
I've been alive and no, I've watched him for 2 years. Like, he says one thing and he doesn't always do that thing. He has been kowtowing to the deep state on almost every point.
Have you read Art of the Deal? And where I'm 100%. I'm being serious. What Trump are you talking about? Are you talking about Twitter Trump? Because obviously Twitter's horrible
Twitter
way
Trump
to get
is
your
a show. He's in show business.
That's distraction Trump.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. But then
you're correct.
But then there's the Trump that actually is making decisions, and the decisions that he oftentimes makes aren't necessarily antagonistic towards the deep state. He isn't the great white hope of ending the deep state that I think all of us thought
he might be. This is going over
your
head, though, because he literally tweeted out whatever his tweets were, and then he drops the JFK files, and he's talking about the deep state. And then what does these prove that the CIA was conspired to kill Kennedy?
Mm-hmm.
And what is going on right now in the CIA? All this is
all this is tied. All these agencies are the swamp. What he's talking about.
Okay.
So he's dropping this knowledge. Look, these fuckers have been doing this forever. These are the bad guys. This mm-hmm. is what's going on. It's not, I mean, he's not going to come out and say, look, the CIA is still a shit show, which everybody pretty much knows that. He's just, and then if you look in the investigation where it's going to go, if you actually follow it, it leads all back to the CIA, the Department
Spangle,
of State.
Spangle, who killed Lee Harvey Oswald?
Jack Ruby, who
the
was,
Jews.
Okay, no.
I know you learned this all in history, just like Hitler's dead.
It was you.
Tell
of the,
me more.
Jack Ruby, who was an associate of the mob. I mean, I think.
Did
that,
you know that they'd met 2 weeks before the assassination in Cuba?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. No. Listen.
Did you know about
the
Chicago?
I'm a total conspiratard when it comes to Kennedy. Like, I think that him trying to bow out of international agreements, trying to end the CIA after the Bay of Pigs. Like,
exactly.
I think all of these, and trying to get out of Vietnam, I think the Dulles brothers had him killed in coordination with HW, with
but you think
Howard
it's
Hunt.
Too far to go.
Look up Howard E. Hunt. Like,
that's another issue, too. The reason he held back some of the emails is because there were certain people who were still alive.
Right.
Now, who would that implement? Who need to be
and the
redacted.
CIA asked him to do it.
And who is the head of the CIA?
So Trump can say, well, the CIA isn't letting me, and that builds more distrust with the deep
state.
And
what comes out as soon as that happens?
The person that was running the CIA operations near Cuba was George H.W. Bush,
Absolutely.
Who was running an oil tanker and oil business.
And what's
while
in the news?
Simultaneously spying on the Cubans.
Instead of this, in the news, what? Oh, crazy old man's grabbing ass.
So isn't this pretty high up on the likely scale for conspiracies for you?
It's not too big of a joke.
But it's also a government that was a lot. There wasn't the kind of transparency that there is now.
Our government's a lot more open and honest now than we had Barack Obama. You know, that change.org, that's really changed our world around. We're a great country now.
Cole, if
you're able to speak your mind on there.
If you wanted something like 9/11 to be an inside conspiracy, let's say 9/11 were a conspiracy. And you buried thermite in the Twin Towers.
Oh,
you'd
okay.
have to have.
Do you remember how much?
100 people, and you'd have to have 1,000 people. The people planting the thermite, and then all the people that you'd have to pay off to shut up about the security cameras, the security guards. How many of those people would have talked at this point? You, with the Kennedy assassination, you've got people like Howard E. Hunt, who eventually did come out and say, here's what the truth was. You don't have that with a lot of these conspiracies. Like, when you have the false flag stuff, like, I get the concept of a false flag, and I get the concept of what's, and I get that it is possible, but I just don't think that it's likely, because the government can't be both completely inept and completely corrupt and completely stupid, which it is, and also have like this core of 100 CIA ninjas that are going around and collapsing the entire country and world. Like, does that stuff exist? Absolutely. Like, we have, like, if you read the work of John Perkins, we're absolutely going into other countries and destabilizing them.
Yeah, they're guns for hire.
But
that's
right.
what we've been
they
talking about
Vegas.
This whole episode, is all these things that the CIA has colluded with and conspiracies that they've driven.
And it's all come out quicker than not.
And it's all true.
The real conspiracy on September 11th.
So,
you got to
talk into that microphone.
Was the Pentagon?
No.
Yes.
No.
A plane did not hit the Pentagon. There's no way a plane hit the Pentagon. Have you ever been next to a plane? You could not fly a jumbo jet that close to the ground in direct impact and not be anything.
Clearly you can.
No, you can't.
Clearly you
can.
That
was a Tomahawk cruise missile.
But the New York Times said that that's what they did, Tad.
No, they didn't.
Okay.
I didn't say any of this. This was all Tad. Which, by the way.
Yeah.
I haven't claimed anything for 9/11.
You know what's funny is that I once basically fired Chris Gull for wanting to
in 40 years.
I basically fired Chris Gull mostly because he was an asshole. That
you're
like,
an asshole. That's what you liked about me too.
I know. But Gull basically like we wouldn't let Gull talk about conspiracies on the show.
It didn't make any sense.
And he wouldn't shut up about it, so he started a fight.
I let you guys talk about whatever you wanted.
Yeah, but
now he comes back and he's completely validated.
But
so.
Here's the thing, like, apologize.
It's all been true.
You couldn't talk about conspiracies in 2012. Now, a libertarian show can have that conversation without, I think, being branded as conspiracy nuts.
Anything Tad Western says is his own opinion, all right? It doesn't reflect.
Oh, remember when we had to start the show with, this has nothing to do with Young Americans for Liberty.
Oh, I know.
The views expressed in this have nothing to do with them.
Yeah, well, because Creighton at the time was working.
Paranoid.
Yeah. Well, he's congratulations to Creighton. Creighton is moving to New York City. He got a job with Bloomberg. He will be in their in their digital department. So nice to have a correspondent in New York City.
Censoring web comments.
Even though we will probably never hear from him again.
He'll just be on Facebook deleting Bloomberg comments.
it's just Chris Galt shit posting him. This is Miami News, Miami New Times. CIA on October 27th, CIA considered bombing Miami and killing refugees to blame Castro. Donald Trump's bold promises earlier this week to finally blow the lid off the assassination mystery by declassifying secret documents turned out to be a gigantic tease. Excuse me.
Jeez. Yeah, that's what the mainstream media wanted everyone to think, that there was nothing in that.
Let me get through this. Still, 2,800 papers included in the new document dump confirms some salacious details of America's decade-long quest to kill or dispose of Castro, including a fairly shocking plan by the CIA to sow terror in Miami. After Castro's revolution succeeded and thousands of Cubans fled to South Florida, the agency actually considered murdering a boatload of refugees, assassinating exile leaders, and planting bombs in Miami. Also, Castro could be blamed for the chaos. The basic idea was to turn world opinion against Castro and possibly justify a U.S. military invasion by pinning the atrocities on him. The details of the sinister plot are included in a summary about Operation Mongoose, a 1960 covert op hatched by the CIA under Eisenhower at the aim of toppling communist Cuba. The campaign was included in a report on pretext the U.S. could conjure up to justify a military intervention in Cuba. The paper was sent by General Edward Lansdale, a top Cold War officer who worked with the CIA to plot out Operation Mongoose. He sent the report, which included nine other pretexts, on April 12, 1962, to General Maxwell Teller, who would soon become chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Here's how it was described. We could develop a communist Cuban terror campaign in the Miami area and other Florida cities and even Washington. The terror campaign could be pointed at Cuban refugees seeking haven in the U.S. We could sink a boatload of Cubans en route to Florida, real or simulated. We could foster attempts on lives of Cuban refugees in the U.S., even to the extent of wounding and instances to be widely publicized. Exploding a few plastic bombs in carefully chosen spots, the arrest of a Cuban agent, and the release of prepared documents substantiating Cuban involvement would also be helpful in projecting the idea of an irresponsible government. So, I will give you that one. Because
you'll
give me Cuba.
It's pretty clear.
Cuba was a big threat, huh?
Oh, I mean, in some respects, yes
and
no.
They were going to bomb America. That's the CIA.
Cuba, I know, CIA was going to bomb America. The CIA, it turns out, was a bigger threat than Cuba.
Absolutely.
Cuba was a threat in the Cold War because they were going to allow U.S. missiles. But once when the push came to shove in the Cuban Missile Crisis, they weren't dangerous. And Khrushchev, by actually talking to Kennedy on a private line, basically like, hey, you want to do this? No, I don't want to do this. All right, let's not do this. Okay, see you later. We'll remove our stuff. You remove yours, and that's what happened. Like it.
You said it. The CIA was more dangerous than Cuba.
In 1962.
So the CIA is not larger and more powerful than they were in 1962. They're just the same. They're just the same as what they were.
Do you realize where drone strikes and all that came from?
But you have to realize
they're like, many times more powerful than they were.
But we also live in a completely different society in the 1960s. Yeah. A completely different. We have Edward Snowden's. We have WikiLeaks.
We have surveillance and spying and drones and NDAA.
Of course, but we know about
that.
The
Patriot
Act. We know about that.
Yeah.
So
you still don't think they're trying to do it and cover it up?
We didn't know about the Cuban stuff.
They were
when that was happening, we had no idea what was really happening.
They were spraying their crops with biological agents in Cuba.
So
the CIA was.
The truth is, the CIA is a bigger threat than terrorism. And that's the same principle that you said applied to terrorism and ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
Who trained them?
It's all CIA. They built them up. They created the threat. They created the problem. They maybe created the disaster.
Bin Laden worked for the CIA.
According to Tad, they did.
Bin Laden worked for the CIA.
Well, Tad...
Bin Laden was a CIA agent.
The Tad York Times.
He was at least a trained
Tad Western Times.
The Tad Western Times.
Yeah.
There is
TWT.
All the news is fit to print in the Tad Western Times.
It's not even printed. It just flies out of the mouth.
no shit.
Well, listen, I said the Colts would win 4 games this season. I'm looking pretty fucking good.
Yeah, listen, heads up to the Indianapolis Colts. I'm ready to play. Put me in.
Your arm is looking pretty good.
Listen, look at this. Look at this.
Oh wow.
Look at the gun.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, and I haven't worked out in 3 weeks. So, all right, kids, we gotta end this.
No way.
Has surprisingly been 2 hours. Feels like forever.
Did we cover anything?
I don't think we
can. I don't
anything.
Know if anybody's
going
to
hate us.
I
you guys are shit out of a bunch of conspiracies. I think there's only 0 people listening on Facebook Live.
I think do we have a thing that we can
literally only one where we've killed,
they couldn't make it through this
killed,
autism.
We've killed the empire.
Do we?
Wall is dead.
In your dear leader court, are we going to post like these links or whatever, like so people don't think I'm just pulling the shit out of my ass?
If you send me a list of links.
Well, they were all in that chat.
I usually anything I talk about, I usually share with that hashtag we use, Wall News.
Wall News,
W-A-L
Wall
News.
Is
the
yeah.
best hashtag. I can type that in, and I can see anything people are suggesting. And
Thank
there's
you,
some
Gold.
Good stuff. I really use that every day.
Yeah.
It gets censored.
Daily.
Though, so you're the only one. Twitter shadow bans it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys, if you made it through this episode, if you made it through, I want to thank you.
I think I am starting my
It's really hard to
though.
Stop, too, because there's still so many more connections
we scratched
that we couldn't get to.
There's a lot going on. We got a lot going on.
I want to do a podcast that's like hardcore history, but it's just about the Clintons.
Do it. That's what Tad Talks is. America's favorite podcast, Tad Talks.
Tad Talks got taken off the air.
No, it didn't.
So
you and I are the only ones that could take it off, and I didn't take it off. Are you done? Are you
no,
done?
Twitter
with
did maybe. No.
Are you done with Tad Talks?
No, I'm not done. Actually, I've been really busy lately.
All right,
and I haven't been drinking, so I haven't had any good stories. I've just been laying on my couch playing with my dog.
I'll cancel Tad Talks if you want me to.
Don't cancel. It'll cost you too much money.
I know. I love all those hits from Turkey.
I know. Oh shit! Don't say that. I'm gonna. Russian agent.
So we wrapping this up?
Yeah.
All right. I'll say something.
Final thoughts, Chris Galt.
All right. The point of all this to me is that it's all true. All of it's true. All these conspiracies that people used to call things, it's all true. I mean, we've been lied to. History classes wasn't nothing. I guess it was just propaganda class now. I don't really know what parts of it to believe and what not to, really. It's all about just still reading up, finding out what the truth is still coming out from 50 years ago. It's a really great time to be alive. I think we're in the best timeline for that, for
yeah.
information. and Uranium One and Clinton's connection, it's all real. The pedo rings, we didn't even get to that. Oh, man.
I mean, we kind of did.
Barely. You didn't let us. But
it's not a pizza.
This Uranium One thing could really turn out to be the biggest political scandal in history. It's way worse than Watergate or anything that you can really relate to it. And I just want people to remember to keep an open mind when you go into these things. Don't close yourself off because something doesn't agree with your worldview. Just read it, see what they're saying. Like Spangle watches CNN every day and he doesn't come in here acting like a libtard every day. Like
he has
a brain and he still processes the information that they give him and uses that to further make him.
Because it just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense.
Back up your beliefs.
So you got to sit there and go, well, this doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
What's wrong here?
Yeah, we got the access to all the information in the world. And then it's almost where we have to, you'll have to take a little bit of a story from this article
exactly.
that's been reported. You got to go back here.
So
you
got to
kind of, I don't think there's any real journalists left.
No.
I mean, not at least in the mainstream.
Less than five. Less than five.
And it's tough. I mean, it's tough trying to connect all this shit and then having to remember what happened. I completely forgot about the reset button with Hillary Clinton and the.
Yeah.
There was all kinds of things. I mean.
So that's kind of how my worldview's been shaped. Is just like Tad said, you know, you got to grab stuff from everywhere or you're never going to get the full picture.
Nobody's.
CNN's only going to show you one side.
Yeah, no one's
every single day, they're going to show you one side. And the Donald on Reddit, they're only going to show you one side.
Exactly right.
You got to read them both. You got to listen to them both. And you got to go out and find the middle, too.
I think it is really important to make sure that you are trying to consume a well-balanced diet of information.
And that's what I hope Wall News hashtag can become. Something like that, where you can just type that in and you can get news from every side, from all different sources like that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be the first one. Like, I like calling bullshit. Like, before anything else, like, I'll hear a story and I'll be like, oh, that's bullshit. And then I'll read it and I'll be like, well, that seems a little plausible. And then the truth pretty much lies somewhere in between. Right. I found and... But there are a lot of... I mean, I consider myself a critical thinker and a... And pretty much, I want to put myself on the Einstein level, but when it comes to ciphering through bullshit and trying to put connections together, I think I'm pretty good at it. And so you kind of almost have to want to figure out what the news or what the actual story is. Because if you take the shit just for face value, I don't think you're going to get the full story.
A lot of what I want to do here is just try and cut through the bullshit and go, like, listen, I want to hate Trump, and I want to be on the side of the liberals.
There's a million reasons to hate him. But
right.
This isn't one of them.
But, like, the Russian thing, it's just not there. Yeah, and, like, if it were, fabricated. I would say, like, I mean, things can change, and at every point, I just sit there and go, okay, well, new information is here. Let's evaluate this. But it's just not there. It's like, the Clinton stuff is so much more damning in terms of collusion and corruption than anything that Donald Trump was involved in.
Another thing, this goes back to the, there were actual Republicans, I believe it was in the Wall Street Journal, calling that Donald Trump should just go ahead and give a pardon blanket for everyone involved in the Russia. Did you see that article?
Yeah, and that's really dumb.
Which, it was completely, I'm sitting here like, what in the hell? What if there actually is collusion or something, then that hasn't been came out yet. Why would someone, I mean, that just shows you that I don't think Trump, I mean, you might not like him or whatever, but he is definitely, if this shows anything, that he is not in bed with any one of these parties. I mean,
no,
the
he's making his own bed.
Yeah, I mean,
I
think it's pretty much Trump by himself, and then he's got a few people around him, and hell, if they stick around. I mean,
publicly, yeah, but he's got an arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
He's got his own private arsenal.
Not that's embedded with the deep state.
That's how he got the power, though. He has the power to fight them.
I don't know. I think it's the best timeline, like you said. I love it.
All right, boys.
There's happenings every day.
Final thoughts, Spangle.
All right. A couple things. We Are Libertarians Radio now exists. And
I was listening to it today.
Because of your generous contributions every month at Patreon, we are now able to continue to add and do more things. And so if you go to wearelibertarians.com and on the right-hand side, on the sidebar, click there. It's a continuous 24/7 loop of, it's going to make me sick, We Are Libertarians episodes. So yeah. I've loaded in all 243 episodes. And
are you going to add the new ones every time?
Every single time.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome.
We have the ability to do a live show for, like, let's say next year we want to go and, like, during a debate, we can do live radio updates. And I'm going to add it to Apple. I'm going to add it to TuneIn. I'm going to add it to all those.
Google Play.
If they have a radio service, I'll absolutely add it. So, yeah, it's kind of fun.
Radio.
I don't think they'll accept us. It's kind of fun. Like, right now we're playing episode 230, Trump Speaks to the UN. Right before that, we played episode 56.
Is that when he told Kim Jong-il to suck his dick?
Feminism and Empathy in Politics. Before that, 37, Budgets, the Soul of the GOP and CPAC.
Ooh.
Before that, 221, Kim Jong-un's Nuclear Threat.
I think I was
threat.
On that 37.
You were. I think that's one of your final ones. And then 85, Israel, Iraq, and ISIS. 85, if you go back and listen to 85, that's when we really, like, talk about ISIS for the first time. And this is one of the first places you heard about ISIS, because we get deep into the news and we just get it all over you. Up next is me on another podcast talking about Glenn Beck and if he's welcomed the libertarian movement from a couple years ago. So I think it's just kind of fun to just, like, you click play and all of the sudden you're just, like, you're listening to something that you wouldn't have probably picked, but it's just kind of fun and interesting to go back and listen. Maybe it's just fun and interesting to me, but I think that if you like the show and you want to go back, it's just a fun way to listen to old episodes. So wearelibertarians.com, and I'm working on adding it to the databases. That is We Are Libertarians Radio, continuous radio loop. And then next year, we're going to utilize it to do live
980 AM.
live campaign updates. Like I said, go subscribe to the Chris Spangle Show. We may be doing some extra stuff there once I get over all this cold and sickness. Let's see. I want to read a letter. You guys have been so awesome. First, I want to say thanks to our $100 sponsors, Christy Avery, Craig DaCosta, Jason Doolittle, our 25-level Brantley Spicer, Joey Turner, Pete Jones, Carly Ernst, Brandon Keister, Christian Emmons, Dan Dunbar, Chad Oakage, Chris, Christopher Brokoff, and Todd Singer. And then our $10 level, Joshua Sexton, Stone Aldridge, John Brett, Logan Knoll, Jeff Thies, Chris Murray, Reinhold, Joshua Laughlin, Samuel Alexander, Jeremy Franklin, Brian Kloss, Joe Benavidez, who is starting a website, so stay tuned to, if you're not in the Facebook group, he's going to post his website. Eric Anderson, Chris Potter, Eric Bartline, David Stovall, Britton Jandry, Jess Nixon, Justin Mitchell, Derek Mishu, I'm so sorry, Mike Trant, Rick Irvine, Zach Felker, James Darling, Eric Neff, Adam Herndon, Nick Economopoulos, Brian Travis, Chris Lane, Ryan Clancy, Ken Walker, Rebecca Cash, and David Anderson. You guys are so awesome in supporting us, as you can tell, since the
great
last
list
time
of Patriots right
we
there.
Read this list. You guys, that list has grown, and I'm so thankful for all of you guys. I want to read a letter from our friend Mike. Very supportive note. Hey, and Mike. I just wanted to give you an example of the love that you guys are showing me and kind of where you guys are at as a community around this show. Hey, Chris, I was just drinking some beers and catching up on Wall. I'm drunk, so I will keep this short. Dude, brave as fuck. I'm not a feelings guy. It makes me uncomfortable, but I have a lot of respect for you, the way you handled things. You know what I'm talking about. I just signed on as a $25 a month before catching up, but please let me know I will be giving you longer than the 30 days to prove your show, but I have little doubt it will stay great. Please don't judge us on this episode.
Yeah, anything Tad says, don't.
Yeah. Because in that show, and I think this actually was after that show. It was not after the last one where I opened up my confessions. Basically, I said, listen, I know the next 30 days are crucial. Like, a lot of you are going to go, is it going to be the same show? And it's going to be the same show. I mean, we're not changing. We're going to keep doing the same thing that we've been doing, and it's going to
ramble on.
We're going to give you two episodes a week, and we're going to have fun while we're talking about the news. I'm just trying to make sure that we're giving you more news and more information, but still having fun while we're doing it, and trying not to be as crass. I said, listen, 30 days is probably what a lot of you are going to give me, and then I'll probably have everyone start unsubscribing after that if they don't feel. But I shouldn't say that out loud because then it might become self-fulfilling. But I think that you're going to
gave him an out.
You're really going to enjoy the future of the show as you've enjoyed the past.
I'm so excited. So,
number two, he signed up, $25 a month of Patreon. Thank you, Mike. Number three, I like Harry. I'm sure you get this a lot, but you can't go wrong with more of that. I don't disagree. I think that was a funny way to put that. Lastly, I wanted to offer you a small database of about 200 memes that I and a few friends put
nice.
Together. They are not all political, but you said you may have trouble in this regard, and I wanted to help out if I could. Anywho, keep up the awesome man. Please let me know if I can help if they are on Telegram. If you don't know what that is, Harry will. Much love. Stay strong. Mike, you are awesome, and I thank you so much. I probably don't need the memes, but I do appreciate you supporting this show and being such an awesome fan and taking the time to write me. I haven't responded to a lot of these yet, and I hope to get to that, like Shane Owens, Jordan Laycock, John Brett, Daniel Davis. You guys have been so nice to me in writing, and I appreciate that. So stay in touch, and listen, just keep sharing the show. If you like the show, you got to share what we're doing on Facebook. You got to join the groups, Discord, the Facebook group. Use the hashtag WAL News and continue to help us prep for the show because God knows we need it. So we will see you next time. And until then, what were you going to say, Tad?
Remember, keep them holstered unless you're ready for a shootout.
All right. Thank you. And until we see you next time, be good to each other.
Good night.